much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, guys, here we go. Are you ready? Are you ready? Bring it on!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Back here live at the Waterfront Village with my friend, the zombie, Jonathan. You're looking good. Jonathan just got an awesome face paint job. What do you think?
I like turtles.
That question is less stupid, though you asked it in a profoundly stupid way.
Well, you got hit a couple times throwing the ball. Does it seem like it's going to be a long season? Does that, you know, this amount of games, does it make you nervous?
What?
I know.
Are you retarded too?
Yes.
Hi, retard face. Hi, fellow retard.
The difference between you and me is you have retard strength.
Yeah, and I throw the ball good.
And you're in the NFL.
Yes.
Yeah, what do I
you
have?
You just sound funny.
Yeah, that's true.
Give it up, what? Woo! Do not leave a brother hanging.
And now.
Don't forget that. If you forget it, I'm going to come get you and take out your garbage for a week.
Our feature presentation.
Why taking out your garbage for a week is considered some sort of punishment or negative, I don't fully understand, but that's the magic of Busey. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how's it going?
How long you been in here?
5 minutes.
1 second,
maybe
ladies
10.
And gentlemen. 1 second. Did Beer Mug put the headphones on you as you
no.
ran past him at yeah. top speed? Is that what I just saw?
No, he handed them to me. I mean, that was nice of him.
Kevin was like, it was like watching a marathoner, one of those marathoners who doesn't slow down and people on the side of the road
yeah.
hand them water as they go by the station.
Yeah, true.
That was awesome. All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday. It's the 19th of April. And here's the story, Kevin, that I think you're going to hate this guy because you know you hate you hate, like, the guy with one arm who goes out and throws out first pitches at baseball stadiums. Kevin's theory, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, is if you're sick or disabled or hurt, just lay down and die.
No.
Don't bother. Don't get the indomitable spirit and don't bother getting
no,
out there and trying
that's
to prove
crazy.
That you're good and don't climb a mountain and don't do all the stuff. You know, those guys we talk about that lose legs and then still climb a mountain, you hate those people.
Well, they're throwing off the curve. That's the problem.
they're making the rest of us look bad, right?
I mean, a guy like that does things that we can't do. Mm-hmm. You go, all right, take it easy. You're better than we are. How about if we just give in on that? That you're
yes.
better than us. And then
right.
you don't have
and
to.
And then you don't have to do that
right.
thing.
Right, right, right.
Well, here's a guy who's in the news right now. He's 68 years old. His name is John Casterline. And back in August of 2006, he retired from working at 7-Eleven, of all places. So you know he's a stand-up guy.
Sure.
He worked at 7-Eleven for 21 years.
Stand-up guy.
Before that, he was 21 years in the Navy. So the guy had a long working career, and then he retired. And then a week after he retired, he was diagnosed with lung cancer. Advanced lung cancer. Stage 4 lung cancer. Which,
that's
if you've ever known anybody who's had that disease, you're heading toward dirt at that point. It's
okay.
Stage 4. Well, he went through all the stuff you go through with the surgery and the chemotherapy and the radiation, everything like that. And then by February of 2007, he was officially named cancer-free. 3.5 years went by, and then he developed prostate cancer, had to have surgery for that. A month after he was cleared from prostate cancer, then he developed throat cancer.
Wow.
So he went through chemotherapy and radiation and blah, 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 blah. And now, once again, he is cancer-free. After battling all of that, he is cancer-free. So what is he doing to celebrate? He is going to walk from Canada to Mexico.
Oh, stop it.
2,650 miles along the Pacific Crest Trail. The route climbs above 13,000 feet in elevation and requires him to average 20 miles a day.
That's a long way each day.
That is a hell of a long way
wow.
to go every day.
20 miles. See, here's my point. He's earned a little R&R.
That's what I'm saying.
You know?
This guy should be on the couch with a remote control
right.
and a cold beverage. That's where he ought to be.
Go to a nice hotel, sit in the suite, watch TV for 4 days.
Yep. Every day he should wake up and go, you know what? I've worked hard enough in my life. I deserve to relax. He says, I expect that I will experience weather that is too cold, too hot, too wet, too dry, and too perfect. I will encounter rattlesnakes, bears, and maybe even mountain lions. The mosquitoes will be horrendous at times. The hills steep, the rock sharp, the trail blocked, the wind strong.
Well, he knows how to sell it.
Sleep will be fitful, and I'll be carrying a backpack with 35 pounds. So he's doing it to prove that he can, to make the rest of us look bad, and he hopes to raise tens of thousands of dollars toward fighting lung cancer.
It's the charity thing, right?
And by the way, he's also 68 years old. If I'm 68 and I'm still having to walk over 2,000 miles, and I have not planned very well for my life.
Right, but he doesn't have to. He's doing it because he wants to.
Yeah.
And that'll never happen with you.
No, that's true.
You never want to go that far. I don't need
If this guy were hiking and his path took him across the street from my house, I would not go out in the front yard to watch him.
Right.
That's how little I would walk.
Hey, good job. You just yelled from the house.
He beat three kinds of cancer, and now he's walking 2,600 miles.
Yeah.
So your message to him is?
Stop it. You're throwing off the curve.
Stop it. Yeah. Okay.
Make us all look bad.
Exactly.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
It's a beautiful story, and it's a lie.
I haven't told it yet. Morgan Spurlock will be in the studio with us. He did Super Size Me, as you know. He's done some other movies since, and now he's got one called The Greatest Movie Ever Sold. So we're going to talk to him today. He's always interesting. We have William Shatner on the program today.
Oh, I love the captain.
He's one of your top three, isn't he?
He is. He's one of my top three favorite celebrities. It's always a thrill when we have him on. And the dude's got to be like 80.
Yeah.
Will not slow down.
Oh, he's working 10 times as hard as both of us put together.
It's crazy how much he does. And he's got all these TV shows on the air, and he's recording an album, and he's doing speaking engagements, and he's running a charity. He's another guy like our guy who's walking.
Yeah. Just settle down. Settle down, Bill.
Back.
Bill, you've done enough. Settle down. Just enjoy yourself.
Exactly.
And go from mall opening to mall opening. That's my future, I hope. We have tickets for Big Four coming up in the next hour.
Mm-hmm.
So keep listening for that. That, of course, is this weekend out at the Indio Polo Fields. We have Josh Gates on the program today. He is the host of Destination Truth. I guess he went to the Arctic Circle looking for ghosts. Now, my question to this guy, and I'm going to ask him this, is has he ever found a ghost? Well, then stop doing the show. Right?
Well, I think they do shows like that because they hope to, if they work hard enough and follow enough leads, they'll find something.
Right, but how many years has he been doing the show?
Well, I don't know.
A, and B, because he was on another one, Ghost Hunter or something like that. Mm-hmm. And B, if you've literally found zero, then there's no show.
Well, maybe he's just, he's encouraged by seeing reports from other people. Other people have seen and found ghosts, and he's just waiting for his moment.
Yeah, like our dude, Gary, or whatever his name is.
Right.
Yeah. So he's waiting for his moment, please. I'm just saying, if you haven't found a ghost in 5 years, then you're not a very good ghost hunter.
Okay. Well, we'll see what he has to say to that.
All right. Comedian Doug Benson will also be in the studio today.
Tell me what the chances are in a million years that we would have the guy who did the Super Size Me movie on an hour after we have the guy who did the Super High Me movie on.
And it's a total coincidence, yeah.
I don't weird,
know.
Right?
I don't really know how to figure out those odds, but yeah, it is bizarre. But Doug Benson is always high, so hopefully he's holding. It is 5:38. We will take a break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
I sense that Kevin is thinking we can't get enough of Mumford & Sons. He wants more Mumford & Sons is the impression I'm getting.
He keeps calling the request line.
I know. It's weird. Like, you'd think he'd hear it enough at work, but he goes home and dials up for it.
Some songs you just can't get enough of. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
And especially the ones with banjo on them. Hey, party people, it is Tuesday. It is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day. Ralph Garman joins us in the studio. How you doing, Ralph?
Well, I'm doing well. Because F-L-Y-E-R-S Flyers! Woo!
Playoff time.
Played last night. Played the Buffalo Sabres, beat them 4-2.
Nice.
Oh, the fourth goal was one of those empty netters at the end because they'd pulled the goalie.
They all count.
Yeah, they all count. So it was very exciting. We get home ice advantage back. We dropped one in Philly, and then we just picked one up there in Buffalo. So
what's the series?
2-1. 2-1. So you just need two more. We move on.
I want the Kings to win the Cup, but my guess, my pick, before the playoffs begin, was Philadelphia. I mean, their Flyers are great.
They were great all season long and then really stumbled at the end. I mean, dropped like 15 out of the last 20 games or something. Just collapsed. And they were in first place the whole time in the East, and then they ended up in second. But a lot of good teams are coming out of the playoffs. If you're watching at all, and I know a lot of people don't watch hockey, so we don't talk about it all that much, but it is playoff time.
Yeah.
But
King Sharks tonight, game three.
Pens look great, as always.
Yeah.
Red Wings, unfortunately, look scary as always.
Communists.
Vancouver's playing well. I mean, there's a bunch of good teams out there. So, exciting time to be a hockey fan.
Sure is.
It is Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are available for your listening and viewing pleasure. There is a new Glee album. Omar will be happy to know.
Right.
Don't they put a new Glee album out just about as many weeks as they have episodes?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Do they put each week out separately?
Almost. Almost. Huh. There are just every other week, it seems like there's a new Glee album. This one, though, is great because it features the Warblers. And the Warblers are...
I don't even know what that means.
Yes, you do. Those are the guys in that old boys' school who wear the blazers who sing those a cappella songs.
That's the school that Kurt or Chris or whatever the gay kid's name is.
Kurt,
the school that he transferred to, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And they get together and they move in their blazers and they sing.
Not really watching that much. But okay.
So, the Warblers available today. New album by the Gorillaz, The Fall, is available. DJ Quick's got a new CD called The Book of David. And Lenka's got a new CD called Two. You can pick it up today. Speaking of Glee, TV shows on DVD released today. They've got a box set called Glee Encore, which is just the musical performances from season one. All the dialogue and all the rest of the episodes cut out, just the musical stuff. If you want to check that out. American Dad, Volume 6 is available today. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
All right.
Season 6, finally. I've been waiting for season 6. I look up there on my my bookshelf, and I've got seasons 1 through 5, and there's just a big gaping hole where Fresh Prince season 6 should be. And now I can fill it.
And it leaves you hanging because you watched all the way through season 5, and there was that cliffhanger.
What happens? What happens next with Will there in Bel-Air, I wondered.
Black, white brother.
And Carlton.
Carlton.
Yes. And if you're a cartoon fan, then you remember Captain Planet and the Planeteers?
No.
Oh, look at Mug shaking his head. He was a big Captain Planet fan. Yeah. He would teach you how to save the planet while fighting crime, Kevin. You can pick season one up on that on the box set as well. The King's Speech is finally available on DVD today. You can check that out. Bambi for the kids. The Way Back with Ed Harris and Jim Sturgis. Colin Farrell is available today also on DVD. Gulliver's Travels with Jack Black. Pick that up today. And Street Kings 2 Motor City starring Ray Liotta also available.
I don't even know what that is.
Can someone step in and pick up Charlie Sheen's two twin boys and just pull them out of this situation, please?
Oh, no. Now what?
Their mother, Brooke Mueller, refused to take a drug test last Friday. Part of the agreement. The custody agreement is that...
Court ordered.
They both have to pass weekly drug tests in order to get visitation with the kids. She's got them most of the time, and then they stay with Charlie some of the time. So the court-appointed technicians show up at her house on Friday and say, okay, time for your drug test. She goes, no, I'm not taking it.
Wow.
Why don't you just shoot up in front of them or whatever you're doing? No one. So she's back in rehab.
Wow.
Since the custody arrangement does mandate that she stay away from all controlled substances and prove her sobriety, Charlie's lawyers are planning to contest the agreement as early as today in court. She also raised a few eyebrows last week when she tried to sell an expensive watch and some stereo equipment at a pawn shop.
Man, what's happening?
Now,
didn't she get
keep
a giant
in mind,
check from Charlie?
She pulls in $55,000 a month from her ex-husband. And she's pawning her watch in stereo. That can't be good, right?
It does sound like maybe drug money is needed.
It seems like. But I'm just thinking, they got these two kids, and you got him as the dad, and this is the mom.
How do you care that little about your kids?
I'd rather see the Lowens raise these kids than these two at
Take
this
it
point.
Easy.
I'd see Dina and Mike step up.
Why not to give them to Amy Winehouse? She wants to have a kid.
There you go. Same thing. Speaking of kids, and perhaps people who shouldn't raise them, Johnny Knoxville has announced that he and his wife, Naomi, are expecting yet another baby this fall. He's already got a 15-year-old daughter, Madison, from a previous relationship, and a 16-month-old son, Rocco, with his current wife.
Can you imagine?
So congratulations to the Knoxville.
I sort of have a boner.
Can you imagine? That's
you know,
your dad.
For a guy who split open his unit.
Yeah.
He sure has a lot of kids.
Sure does. It's true.
For an area where he's got, I still think he has tubing involved. I think it's funny. He's siring a lot of children.
Riding a motorcycle and took the handlebars right to the balls.
Not just the balls. It was his urethra that he split in half. And they had to sew him back together and put a catheter in, which I believe he still uses.
Yeah, for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that area, I don't know how familiar you are with reproduction, but that area for men is the primary area for...
That's used in the reproduction?
For the dissemination of the important elements that...
No wonder I don't have any kids.
Baby. Yes, that's right.
I've been doing it wrong.
He's built like a Ken doll. That's what... He's got a smooth, plastic, shiny surface down there. That's the problem.
I'll never forget that Johnny Knoxville called us from the stretcher on the way to the hospital.
Yeah.
The day that happened.
Yeah.
In that kind of pain, he still called us. It was amazing.
He's a nut.
He is a nut.
Yeah. Thank God.
Love him.
And Evan Rachel Wood, the lovely and talented actress, did a candid interview with Esquire magazine this month where she freely admits that she is bisexual.
All right.
She had dropped several hints throughout her career with interviewers and stuff, but she came out proudly telling the magazine, "Yes, I am bisexual. I grew up in love with David Bowie," she said. "I was always into very androgynous things, guys, girls. I'm into androgyny in general."
That's tight.
Explains why she was dating Marilyn Manson all that time. She says, "When it comes to the ladies, I'm more of like the guy when it comes to girls. I'm the dominant one." Then she adds, "I'm opening doors, I'm buying dinner, yeah, I'm romantic." Yeah, yeah.
Twice the taco.
Yeah. And if you'd like to see Rachel naked, she gets naked quite a bit in that Mildred Pierce HBO miniseries that she's doing with Kate Winslet, so you can check her out there. I'm all for it, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Tim Curry, probably still after all these years best known as playing Dr. Frank Infurter in the legendary movie Rocky Horror Picture Show. He is 65 years old today. Suge Knight is 46. Can't believe Kevin said all those things about him on his birthday. That was really inappropriate.
Suge Knight is the best.
Any of Suge's people are listening, I can give you Kevin's address if you have any concerns.
Pattern my life after him.
Ashley Judd is 43 years old. Jesse James celebrates his 42nd birthday. Actor James Franco is 33. Kate Hudson is 32. Hayden Christensen turns 30 years old, and from the world of sports, tennis star Maria Sharapova celebrates her 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
What a show for you today on the Kevin Amin program, including the host of a show called Destination Truth that airs on the Sci-Fi Channel. The guy is looking for ghosts in Antarctica. What's up with that? We'll talk to him in about 15 minutes or so. Right now, though, we turn our attention to this weekend, to the Big Four. You know, we had Lars Ulrich on the show at the time this was announced, and at the time he told us they were going to see how this one goes. If they sold this one out, they might do others.
Right.
Who doesn't want to see Megadeth, Anthrax, Slayer, and Metallica? That's like the greatest metal lineup in history, right?
Yeah. The first time, where were they playing? Like Bulgaria or someplace?
Yeah, someplace we weren't at.
Yeah. So then they finally brought it to Southern California. We have your tickets if you can play our new game, the Big Four Loco.
That's how you want to wake up right there. Thank you, Omar. All right, here's the way the game is played. As you know, Metallica is one of the biggest bands in the world in any genre, and they are so popular that they have spawned an amazing array of cover albums in all sorts of different kinds of music. It's crazy the different versions of Metallica songs that exist. You wouldn't think that somebody would say, oh, I know what the world needs is bluegrass Metallica or New Age Metallica or string quartet Metallica, but they do.
Yeah, it really is ridiculous, and I don't know what the market is for it. Like, if you're into lullabies or hip-hop, you don't need Metallica.
Right.
You don't need it in your style of music.
So we do have cuts from a whole bunch of these albums doing Metallica, and all you have to do is identify the song based on the clip that we play. And if you're right, you go into the drawing, and someone wins tickets for the Big Four this weekend. We have them for you every day this week on the Kevin Bean Show. Let's take them in order, starting with our man Paul. He is on line one, and he's going to get us going and see how he does. Hey, Paul, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Good.
Very good.
All right, listen up. We're going to play a clip from one of the Metallica tribute albums. This one happens to be the Celtic variety. Listen up and tell us what Metallica song they're doing. All right, that one's pretty easy. What do you think, Paul?
Nothing else matters.
That was one, actually.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I can't remember anything.
That was pretty easy.
Yeah.
Nothing else mattered.
Nope.
Let's try Jeff. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play the Big Four Loco?
I sure am.
Good luck.
Your style of music is bluegrass. And if it has a banjo, you know I'm in. Here we go.
And with dust in the throat I crave, only knowledge will I say to the game you stayed a slave.
Now, I'm going to say right now, we don't need that. No one needs that.
There's no reason for that to exist, is what you're saying. However, the lyrics are the same as what Metallica song?
Wherever I May Roam.
That's correct.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah, right. I don't know that they... Hang on, Jeff. I don't know that they added anything by putting banjos on there.
Oh, they took away from it, clearly.
Shane, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play?
I'm ready. Right.
Your style of music is hip-hop. Here you go.
What's in your mind is messing your dream. You're blinded by me. You can't see a thing. Just call my name because I hear you scream.
What?
Shane?
I think it was Master of Puppets.
It was Master of Puppets.
Nicely done.
Hey, hang on. You're in the drawing. Metallica does get money for every one of these albums it sells, by the way, so they probably don't mind it.
That's sweet. Brian,
how you doing, dude?
Pretty good.
Playing the Big Four Loco. Identify this Metallica song. You're getting a lullaby, so try to stay awake. Listen up.
Do they have this for kids? Is that why they do it, Bean?
Yes. Oh, yes, man. They do.
Right, there you go. Name that song.
Can I hear it again? I have no idea. Can I hear it again?
You want to take a guess? You can't hear it again, but we'll let you guess.
Blackened.
Actually, it was Enter Sandman that time. They slowed it down.
Yeah.
By the way, the lullabies are the most popular of all of these genre albums.
They are?
100 of them. No kidding.
Wow.
Rich. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ready to play for Big Four Low Ticket? Let me take that again. Ready to play Big Four Loco for Metallica tickets for Big Four this weekend?
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't do much better to say.
You got that.
No, I'm just going to retire.
Okay. Yours is bluegrass again.
Trust I seek and I find in you. Every day far is something new.
Wow. Mumford and Sons there. Huh?
Yeah. Nothing else matters.
Yeah. Correct.
Trust I see, and I find in you.
Nicely done.
All right. I'm running out of steam, but I think we got time for Rudy. He's on line 7. Rudy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Big Four tickets. Listen up. We're giving you, I think we got a beautiful piano version for you this time. Listen up.
Sweet.
Wait, what, huh?
He said sweet.
Oh, sweet. I'm sorry. All right. Let me get back to the beginning of that one so you don't miss
it. Go ahead, guys. Yeah, go ahead, guys.
All right. That seems unusual easy, doesn't it? I mean, they can pretty much play all of it.
Yeah.
On a piano.
What do you think there, dude?
Oh, my God, dude. I don't know, but I'm going to take a guess here. Is it Blackened? I'm not Blackened. No.
Well, it's the Unforgiven, actually, is what we were looking for.
But you can't, after the buzz, go, no. Come on, let's do one more. One more.
Really?
Yeah. We don't want to end on that guy.
Okay, one more.
All right. Let's go to Marvin. Hi, Marvin.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Very good, thank you.
Hey, did you tell Chip that you're a limo driver, you've actually driven Metallica lead singer James Hetfield in your car?
I actually did.
What?
Was he cool?
He was so cool, man. He was very cool.
Why don't you just call him up? Text him. Get your own tickets,
good.
Dude. Was he good? All right.
Did he tip?
Very good.
Sweet. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
all right. Well, I like the way that you repay how well he treated you at your job by not ponying up to buy tickets to go see him this weekend. Instead, you're trying to get him free. It's nice.
All right. This is a string quartet version of a Metallica song. Name the song.
All right, Marvin, good luck.
Oh, my God.
It's a little more difficult, I think, than the last one.
That was pretty hard there.
If you say blackened, I'm going to hit you.
Pick
man.
A song. Pick a Metallica song.
Monster we need a guess.
Monster
Puppets. Sorry. No, that's sad but true. Hey,
so there you go.
All right, Marvin, looks like the only time in your life you're ever going to see James Hetfield is in person in your car. Sorry you didn't win, but Jeff, Shane, and Rich all identified their songs in the Big Four local game. They are all in the running to win tickets. Who is our winner?
All right, the winner is Jeff, the first person we talked to. Congratulations, Jeff. You got tickets for Saturday, the Big Four. Congratulations, enjoy.
All right!
This is the Big Four Loco!
Are you tired, Kevin, as I am, of all the shows about Antarctica and looking for ghosts there?
Well, yeah. By the 10th or 11th episode of every single episode, they're all in Antarctica and they're all looking for ghosts. And it doesn't make any sense.
How played out is that? I mean, I think they just did this on The Bachelor a couple of weeks ago where they went down to Antarctica to look for ghosts. But Josh Gates is back with his show Destination Truth, which airs tonight on Sci-Fi. Listen to Josh as he tells you what his program's all about.
I'm Josh Gates. In my travels, I've seen some unexplainable things, and I've done some things I can't quite explain. Now, I've pulled together a team armed with the latest technology in the search for answers to the world's strangest mysteries. I'm not sure what's out there waiting for me. I know what I'm looking for. The truth.
Yeah. Josh, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, man?
I'm great. How you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
First of all, you need more sound effects in your production on your show, first of all.
I know, not nearly enough. Could be louder.
And second of all, even for a guy like you who has traveled the world 100 times and been to what, over 90 countries at this point?
Yeah, almost 100. I'm almost there.
Wow. Almost 100. Even for a guy like you, when you're going to the Antarctic, that's a whole different thing, isn't it?
It really is. You know, it's definitely the hardest episode that we ever have had to film on the show. It's just like the most difficult place in the world to get to, and once you get there, it's just incredibly dangerous. I mean, it's beautiful, it's incredible, but it is a really difficult place to film.
I gotta be honest, that's why most of us don't go.
Yes, it's true.
And how far away is Antarctica? I mean, we look at a globe and I think we have trouble realizing the distance. I mean, if you were to fly down to, once you fly down to southern South America, is it still quite a distance from there?
It really is. So, I mean, first you have to get to the very bottom of South America, which in and of itself is a huge journey. So we flew all the way down there, and you drive to the very, very bottom, the very tip of South America, and from there you have to get on a boat. There are no airports over in Antarctica. You have to really sail there, unless you're going in with the military, and they have these giant planes that can land on the ice for certain parts of the year. But if you're not, you know, going to one of these research stations, you have to take a boat.
And how long does that take?
And the boat ride took us about 4 days each way.
Nope.
Oh, my God.
Nope. I'm
really?
Out.
4 days on a boat once you've already gotten to the tip of South America?
And let me tell you, it is the worst piece of ocean in the world. It's called the Drake Passage, and it's really famous for being the roughest part of ocean in the world, and it is a horrible boat ride.
Sweet.
You know, sometimes you catch good weather, but we did okay coming back, but going over, it was just a puke fest. I mean, it was bad.
And when you say good weather, what's the best you can hope for if you go at the best time of year to Antarctica, what in terms of temperature?
Well, I mean, you know, like one. Freezing. Yeah, freezing is about the best you're going to do. And you know, I mean, this stretch of ocean takes boats down. I mean, it's really, really a horrible part of the world. The ocean just kind of is incredibly rough there.
Now, why did you go there for Destination Truth? What were you looking for?
Well, you know, we do a mix of stories on the show, and we sometimes follow up on creature stories, or we'll do haunting stories. And whenever we do a ghost story, we always want it to be something that's really different, you know, because we have Ghost Hunters, and we have Ghost Hunters International on the channel, and so we try not to go to haunted houses. We try to make it more adventurous and go to parts of the world that are a little bit more difficult to get to.
But isn't there some kind of a medium that you could go to in between a haunted house and a 4-day boat ride to Antarctica?
Yes, there probably is. But we heard these great reports about these abandoned research stations and abandoned whaling stations down in Antarctica, and people who had gone down there had seen and heard really strange things. And for years, this had kind of like been up on our chalkboard as a place that we would love to go to. And we finally found a captain and made it come together, and it's a really, really great episode. It's a 1-hour all on Antarctica, and it really is incredibly beautiful down there. It's just it's just an intense place.
Josh, let me ask you this, and you had several years on the Ghost Hunters show as well, so you know more about ghosts than anyone we're ever going to talk to. People have to have died wherever it is you're going in order for there to be a ghost, right?
I mean, that's the common thinking, right? I mean, I guess that makes sense. People do believe that places where, you know, death and tragedy have taken place, that those places tend to be more haunted. That's the thinking.
Okay.
Okay, and is that where you went in Antarctica, to some of these research stations where people had died because they got abandoned, or they couldn't get out because of the weather or something like that?
That's right. There are these particularly whaling stations down in Antarctica where a lot of people cashed out. I mean, it's a very, very difficult life down there, and a lot of the earliest explorers that went down there didn't come back.
I like the cashed out. That's sweet. Makes it sound like they're leaving with something.
Yeah.
Now, what do you do? I mean, there's no electricity that you can plug into when you go down there. I mean, you just have to take battery-powered everything and just hope it holds out while you're filming, right?
Yeah, that was, that really was what made the trip so difficult from a filming perspective. It's that when you get down there, there's just no infrastructure. So you're living on the boat and you're powering things off the boat while it's, there's some generators on the boat while it's moving. But yeah, we sort of bring doubles of everything and try to, it's a combination of trying to pack light and also, if you get down there and you need like a AA battery, it's over. Like, you can't get anything.
You
so.
Send someone back. I know it's 4 days each right. way, but we need a battery.
A lot of smart packing.
They need a 7-Eleven down there. That's what they need.
They really do.
Josh, did you take any girls with you?
Yeah, we had my sidekick on the show, Ryder, was there, and then it was a 6-person crew total. We're normally 8. We paired it down to 6 just because the boat wouldn't accommodate more.
Is that honestly though? Is that because the other two wouldn't go?
No. Although I will say, we had a 5-day delay down in Ushuaia, which is a town in South America, because we had to swap some parts out of the boat, which is really what you want before an Antarctic crossing.
Oh, yeah, that makes you feel good. We're going to need to just replace some parts.
Yeah, and for those 5 days, everybody in the crew, I mean, it was like that was the worst part of the trip in some ways, because the anticipation of getting underway was so bad. It's like if you're bungee jumping or going on a roller coaster or something. It's like the longer you wait, the worse it is,
Yeah, makes sense. Now, not to bust your chops at all, but have you ever found a ghost on Destination Truth?
I don't know. I mean, look. Well,
what do you mean you don't know? Yes or no?
Well, I don't know. And that's the thing about ghosts, right? Like, I'm not a ghost guy. I didn't come to Destination Truth as a, paranormal enthusiast. I'm a curious guy who wants to go and check out these stories.
Right.
And the thing about the paranormal is that, you've got something like 80% of Americans believe in, life after death of some sort, which is like a crazy number of people. I mean, it's staggering, right? And
yeah.
So you've got so many people who believe in ghosts and God and things like that, and yet, we can't really prove if any of these things exist. And so that's a big part of what we do is try to look for definitive proof of these things. I don't think we found definitive proof that ghosts exist, no.
Then you should call your show something other than Destination Truth.
Well, that's the destination part.
We're going to try and find out some information.
Destination maybe, Kevin? Is that what you're suggesting?
Destination maybe, which was on the table for a while, it doesn't really have the same ring to it.
Right, exactly. Well, I just have to applaud you, Josh, because you figured out a way to travel the world, see every place you've ever wanted to see, and have somebody else pay for it. I mean, you're a genius, dude.
Thank you. I wish I could take all the credit, but they, this is a show that they had wanted to partner originally with Ghost Hunters for a long time, and they really wanted it to be part travel show, part adventure show, and also part investigative. And so it has been a really wild ride, and this episode tonight is a really great end.
Now, can you give us a heads up on, did you find anything?
We did.
You think you may have? What?
No, I definitely, sometimes we go look for stuff and things go bump in the night and strange things happen, and sometimes they don't. And I have to say, our trip down to Antarctica was very weird. We went to these places which, even if you're not a paranormal enthusiast, you have to kind of see these places. These are these bizarre abandoned stations and stuff that are sitting down there, and they are really creepy, and we had a lot of weird stuff happen to
them. Now, they're abandoned because, why, they just don't need them anymore?
Yeah, I mean, things down there are so difficult to maintain, and it's hard to keep a presence down there. And so some of these old whaling stations just kind of went away when the whaling went away. But so there are research stations and facilities down there that are just rotting away.
I can't wait to see it. Ghosts of Antarctica is the episode. It's tonight on Destination Truth, 9 o'clock on Sci-Fi. Josh, great to have you on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for coming on with us.
Always great to be here. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, every day this week, in addition to Big Four tickets, we're also hooking you up with Soundgarden tickets. If you missed our announcement yesterday, Soundgarden is reformed, and they are back at the Forum on July 22nd. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10 a.m. If you've always dreamed of seeing Soundgarden, now's your chance, and we're going to give away a pair of tickets on today's show. It's as simple as picking up the phone and calling us when you hear us play any song by Soundgarden. Any song by Soundgarden on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, just be caller 20 and you'll win those tickets. It could happen at any time. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on, man?
Soundgarden should be seen, should be heard, not seen, I think.
Really?
Shouldn't see Soundgarden. It's not Sightgarden, Soundgarden. You're supposed to listen to them. You're not supposed to see them. Don't do it. Don't do it, people.
Don't give it to the man.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't let him tell you what to do. I'm still reeling. I'm still depressed. I'm still disappointed.
About what?
No more Busey on Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah.
What's the point, really, now of watching?
Yeah.
What? My man ain't going to make a mistake. No, I don't need that.
Well, LaToya Jackson's pretty crazy in her own right.
Yeah, but she's like a retarded kitten.
Yeah,
she's sad, depressing.
Yeah,
I guess.
It's just like, oh, I feel so bad. She's really kind of just meek and mild. She really doesn't have a mean bone in her body, but she doesn't have any talent in her body either. And she just sort of just lays there all. Plastic surgery'd up. Just bad.
No one has ever done less with the family name than LaToya Jackson, by the way.
Well,
in terms of the opportunity she's had.
Ease up before we get into a Tito battle.
But, Ralph, don't you get the impression from Gary Busey, and I'm not just saying this because I fell deeply in love with him and enrolled in the Church of Busey when he was a guest on our show a couple weeks ago, but Gary is still walking around today going, they just didn't get me, man. It's not on me. It's on them. They're the ones.
Here's the thing.
I mean, that's the impression I get.
No, but it's better than that because I get the sense now that Gary is getting a little steamed.
Oh, really?
And that's what I want. I don't want goofy, everybody, let's just get along. I'm part of the team, Gary. I want Gary with a little taste of blood. I want that 1,000-yard stare in Gary's eyes. I want to see someone go down at the hand of Gary.
I want
the righteous anger of Gary to come smote them.
Right.
Smite them. Smeet them. Something.
I don't know. No.
And the reason I feel this way is because he's starting to talk about, now that he's been voted off, how he feels about the rest of his team Backbone, who he's now calling Team Backstabbers.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Yes, he did.
He did.
And he's talking himself into a bit of a rage about how they behaved towards him.
They did, by the way. They were backstabbing him, but
this last one, by the way, they just hung him out to dry. Yeah. They said, you know what? I'm not going to step up and do anything in this task, so as project manager, he will get voted off this show. That's what he did. They threw the game.
They practically did that the week before, even.
Yeah.
I mean, they really had it for him.
They tried to do it when he was the project manager on that camping episode, remember? And he just, through sheer willpower, sort of won that competition.
But don't you guys, as much as I love the Buse, don't you think he kind of deserved that reaction from his co-workers
on the team? No, I don't, because everybody else, when Mark McGrath is the project manager, whatever, and stuff needs to get done, people see it needs to be done, and they step up, and they try to do their best in order to win the competition so that the men's team can win. These guys were not concerned about winning this competition when it came to Busey. They wanted to let him hang out there and flail so that they could get him thrown off the show. And I think he's got a right to be a little cheesed off. And he was on Jimmy Kimmel last night.
Ah.
And I think if you listen between the lines,
okay,
for Gary's plans for the finale, you might be just as excited as I am.
They should have figured out a way to keep you on the show, whether you were in the competition or not.
Well, the finale's being done on May 22nd.
And you will be a part of that?
Yeah, I'm going to go back like a heat-seeking missile. And nobody should get in my way unless they mean it.
Go back as a meat-seeking missile.
A meat-seeking missile.
There you go. Gary Busey, everybody.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Heat-seeking missile, Gary Busey.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
I don't think that's what you want.
No, you do not want to rage. You don't want to wake that sleeping giant.
No, you don't.
Can't wait for Big Wednesday to become a heat-seeking missile.
He is Charlie Sheen-esque before there was Charlie Sheen, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's not a dick.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's not manufactured. I think Charlie Sheen is just so desperately trying to put on this fake persona. And Busey's the real deal.
Yeah.
He is organic. I had a huge fight with my wife, Gary Busey, on Sunday.
Really? Why?
And she's like, I don't blame those guys. I wouldn't be able to work it. I was like, he's the best thing ever. You don't know what you're talking about.
Wait, he's the best thing for us to watch on TV. If I'm on that show and I'm trying to win, he's not the best, and I want to get rid of him.
See, I don't think so. I would totally buddy up with Gary if I was on that show working side by side with him.
But Ralph, he would torpedo things. I mean, he would grab the people, like when they were doing the sunscreen thing, and pull them over and, like, almost
ruin their
chances.
But that's out of all enthusiasm. It's all genuine enthusiasm.
Maybe, but if you're interested in winning, you don't need that.
I think you do. I think you need a little crazy in order to win. I think he brings a certain element of creativity that could be very useful if it's channeled properly.
Well, if he's a heat-seeking missile, then I agree with you as well. He's the best and should be around.
He says he wants to come in after the finale.
Fantastic.
So I'll have a chance to tell him that you're not on his
side. No, I'm on his side.
No, it's too late now.
I'm on his side.
When do rock stars relax? When do they rest? You know, they stop being rock stars.
When they're dead?
Between tours, maybe?
It must be death.
Death?
Because Bono and The Edge were in Sao Paulo, Brazil last week doing a concert. And when they got off stage, they proceeded to go to a karaoke bar and continue singing until 5 a.m. Singing karaoke at a bar in Sao Paulo. Which would be pretty cool if you're in Sao Paulo at a karaoke bar and Edge and...
No kidding.
Bono walk in and start singing.
But they're sort of ringers at a karaoke bar.
Well, I mean? Like, it's not a competition, Kevin. You get a chance to see
them. You're the lead singer of a band.
Sure, Bono, you know, sang some Frank Sinatra tunes or whatever. It must have been awesome. But it's a 5 a.m. A 2.5 hour concert isn't enough for those guys? They have to go sing until 5 a.m.?
Yeah, no kidding.
Making the rest of us look bad.
It does seem like you'd be exhausted coming off stage after what they do.
Especially as hard as those guys work. You guys still depressed about the fact that All My Children and One Life to Live were canceled?
I don't know if I'm going to be able to go on.
You're not going to watch your stories anymore? You're not going to be able to watch your stories?
I did not know either show was still on the air.
I didn't either.
How dare you, sir?
I never watched a single one of those daytime soap operas.
You've never watched a soap opera? Uh-uh. I was kind of hooked on General Hospital back
I was
day.
Too.
Really?
Back in the day, General Hospital was my show, yeah.
What's
happening? Luke and Laura, back in the Luke and Laura era? Yeah, that was my show. I was on one. I was on a soap opera.
I don't know who any of those people are.
When I first came to Los Angeles and I was a starving actor, I did a couple soap opera gigs. I was on Days of Our Lives, which was a pretty big one.
That one does still air, right? Days of Our Lives is still on.
That's one of the only surviving
ones. There's
only
four left, right?
Yeah, there's only four left.
I have a clip from you on Days of Our Lives.
I don't think you do.
I do.
I don't believe you do.
So, game's in 2 days. You talk to your team?
No, I'll have to.
Then it's all set. You throw the game.
Forget it.
What are you talking about?
Look, we're playing it straight. It's going to be a fair game, start to finish.
Wrong, man. You just made it into a bloodbath.
Yeah, I don't think that was Days of Our Lives.
You just made it into a bloodbath.
I think that was ABC After School Special.
Oh.
Can you hear my, it's amazing to hear my Philadelphia accent back in the day. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? It's going to be fair game, start to finish.
You still have a little bit of that. You say human instead of human.
I don't. I go out of my way to pronounce my H's now.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Failure.
Anyway, All My Children, One Life to Live have been canceled. And not everyone is too happy about it, including Hoover.
Who's Hoover?
The vacuum cleaner people.
They're
furious. I guess that was perfect target audience for them to sell their vacuum. So they are pulling all their advertising from ABC.
They'll show them.
Yes, they will.
What do they expect to happen?
Wait.
ABC to stick with the show just because they want to advertise?
Well, in the old days, that's how it worked. A company would sponsor an entire program. And they would pay for the...
But isn't Hoover shooting themselves in the foot? Advertise on other shows that women watch. Put your commercials on Dancing with the Stars.
Hoover apparently says they are trying to rally to save the shows.
Wow.
They want you to send your emails to savethesoaps@hoover.com so they can amass a large groundswell of support.
You should mail in soap. That'd be awesome.
See, because they're soap operas.
Totally work.
Should mail in vacuum cleaner bags. Bring it back. That's what we should mail in. Anyway, I think they're fighting a lost cause here. But
yeah.
As is the folks over there on Chaos, the new CBS series Chaos, apparently not doing so well. I had no idea there was a show called Chaos.
Good. I was just thinking. I've never heard of that. I wonder if it's just me.
Apparently, the network has...
What's Chaos?
Who's on it, Ralph?
I have never heard of this show until I read this story this morning. I had no idea. I don't know what Chaos is. I don't know who's on it. I don't know when it airs. All I know is CBS is not happy with the ratings.
Oh, they
are. You can imagine, because no one knows it.
Well, they certainly have done a good job promoting it.
Here's CIA spies in the Division of Clandestine Administration Oversight Services. That's what Chaos means.
That and sounds apparently, just like right up my alley. How have I not heard of it?
Freddie Rodriguez is on it from 6 Feet Under.
Oh,
and
right.
Kurtwood Smith is on it from That 70s Show. Remember, he was the dad on That 70s Show.
Yeah.
Tim Blake Nelson is on it. I mean, it's got some decent cast members, but it doesn't look like it's working out.
No. CBS not pleased with the numbers, and so they are giving it a temporary, indefinite hiatus, as they say in the business. We'll wait and see until after sweeps are over. Maybe they'll bring it back and burn up some episodes. But all you Chaos fans, bad news. Sorry about that. Today's celebrity birthday is Tim Curry, 65 years old today. Suge Knight is 46. Ashley Judd turns 43. Jesse James is 42. James Franco, 33 years old today. Kate Hudson turns 32. Hayden Christensen is 30. And Maria Sharapova celebrates her 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show with the great William Shatner joining us later on today. Also, Morgan Spurlock will be here next hour. And Doug Benson joins us now. Doug.
Hello.
What's going on,
clapping,
man?
Sound effects. This is kind of just...
Is it weak?
Well, yeah. It just sounds lame.
One dude?
Like one or two dudes. Doug Benson, who is one of the funniest guys I know, played April Foolishness earlier in the month. And Doug, let me just say up front, first of all, thank you for donating your time for the great cause this year. And second of all,
happy to do it.
Has there ever, Kevin, tell me, has there ever been a better match between a comedian's sense of humor and the Kevin and Bean audience than Doug Benson?
No. No, it was a perfect fit.
Yeah, your crowd that turned out for that and that, you know, paid, you know, tickets weren't cheap.
That's
But I would imagine they could write it off their taxes because of the charity part of it. But it was still the most I've been at that place, the Gibson Amphitheater, a bunch of times, and I've never seen anything happen without a lot of random screaming the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, it's just madness in there, and, you know, everything I've ever seen in there, you know, like, especially the MTV Movie Awards and the VMAs, like, the comedian host always just has to deal with constant heckling.
Yeah.
Right. And, your crowd was so...
Gig.
Yeah, yeah. But your crowd was so docile and not quiet, like laughing at everything.
Yep.
But it was laughter and applause, not a bunch of idiotic yelling and I had such a great time with those people.
We had a couple of people say that the crowd was really amazing, and I think that's because we put together this bill of A-level celebrity, you know, of A-level comedians, and everybody is there for the night. They're not there. Like, if you're at a concert sometimes, I'm here to see a band.
Yeah.
Everybody else is sort of annoying because they're in the way before my band. But for that night, they just wanted to laugh, so they were fine
with
anyone.
They were in their seats for the whole 3 hours. The snack bars probably did very little business because there was whenever I was in the lobby, there was no... once they got the contact high off of me, then everybody raced up there and missed a few minutes.
Now, Doug, has anyone ever been higher than you were on stage that night?
Well, I even wrote that down that you guys said that I was the highest looking person you've ever seen because
ever.
How long have you been in radio?
A long time.
How many bands have you been around? You've met Snoop Dogg,
yep.
I'm sure.
Yes,
and
yeah.
I'm the highest person you ever saw.
That is
quite an honor.
Well, you're the highest functional person I've ever seen. That's for sure. I mean, we've seen other people passed out that may have been higher.
Actually,
You
know, you bring up Snoop Dogg. That's interesting because we were at the Playboy Mansion one time doing some kind of a singles party or something, and he was in the grotto, you know, that cave by the swimming pool, and he was so, and he had the naked women coming up to him in that little pool. They were naked, and he was so high that he was just like looking up at the top, and he didn't notice. And they were beautiful women, and I at that moment I said, "There is a too high. I don't want to be so high that I don't care that there are super hot, beautiful women."
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. I say as much as I like pot,
right?
Women are a bigger priority.
I agree.
In
so
my life.
Snoop. All right, so I'm changing the order. Snoop number one, and you number two at April Foolishness.
Do you remember, by the way, Kevin, one of the early times in the show when Snoop Dogg came into the studio
yes.
when his people in advance called and said, it would be nice if you had a gift for the dog when he arrives. And we all knew what that meant. And Jimmy Kimmel, of all people, was our sports guy at the time. Jimmy Kimmel's the guy that went out and found it, right?
No, Jimmy wouldn't do that. That's against the law, Bean.
Oh, I'm saying somebody who looked like Jimmy then, who worked here, must have gone out and procured for the
Jimmy
Snoop
only
dog.
Breaks the law if some sort of prank is happening.
That's correct, yes. Right, exactly.
Then he's fine with it.
But anyway, it was good times with Snoop Dogg and great times with Doug Benson. And let me tell you why Doug is here today, because Doug is getting on a plane after the show today, and he's flying to San Francisco to appear at the Punchline tonight. Now, this is not just another Doug Benson concert. This is a big deal tonight.
Yeah, it's like sort of for stoners right now, 419 would be kind of like New Year's Eve. And because at midnight, it's going to be, 420 on the calendar.
Right.
So I'm doing a countdown to 420 show where it doesn't start until 10:30 tonight at the San Francisco Punchline. And just like they do in comedy clubs on New Year's Eve, 30 seconds to midnight,
sweet.
I'm going to do a countdown and we're all going to cheer and then
what happens at midnight?
And then leave the building because there's no smoking allowed inside the building. And now, everyone's going to have their their medical card on them, I'm sure.
Sure, of course.
Or at home.
Right.
And everyone that's there will be legal. And it's already sold out. And I still came in to see you guys this morning because, I like to honor my commitments. And I booked this when I thought the show might not sell out. So it'll give me a little extra push because you guys are in San Francisco
now. That's so funny. But now you didn't need to. You're thinking, maybe I shouldn't go. I'm kind of tired.
Yeah, maybe I should just call him up and say, sorry, guys. But I also got excited because Spurlock's going to be here today.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
And of course, the thing that kind of got me the most notoriety is my parody of his movie.
Yep.
Super high me, and I've only met the man one time, and we still haven't had a conversation about what he thinks about.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you guys could ask him.
Yeah. Well, why don't you hang out? Because he's only coming in a half hour after you leave. You should totally hang out and
I'll totally hang out at Jack in the Box.
Yes,
and or some such eatery, and come back in and say hi to him if you guys will let me.
That's of course.
That's absolutely. Now, Doug, who's in charge of keeping track of the clock tonight as it approaches midnight?
Ooh,
they're not
question.
Looking to you to know what time it is and be able to count from 30 to 1, are they?
Well, I could do the 30 to 1 thing. That's as math goes. It's pretty easy to do the numbers sequentially, but the comedy clubs have a signal that I'm used to, where they they wave a flashlight around or a cell phone to let you know to wrap it up, or on the April Foolishness they had a big red light and I wrapped it up on time.
You did, okay.
Even though I was the highest person that ever happened.
You were.
And I did my time and left when they gave me the red light, or maybe somebody just had their camera phone out.
Could
in the crowd
be.
And I only did 2 minutes.
Hey, I thought that was the red light. Why did you get off stage so soon?
Doug has no idea how long he's actually on stage. He gets off stage and they tell him whether it was 2 hours or 2 minutes. Otherwise he doesn't know.
It could run the gamut of times, but it's generally the shorter end, because 2 hours, I'd sober up and need to reboot.
Right, sure. So it's tonight at 10:30 at mm-hmm. the Punchline in San Francisco, and then tomorrow, of course, is 4:20. That's your holiday.
That's the day where I record a new record every year, because that's the best audience I'm going to get all year.
And is that in San Francisco as well? Or?
No, that's going to be in our beloved state capital of Sacramento.
Sacramento. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm doing two shows, and that'll be my this year's album. I make an album.
I love that you make the album
year.
On that day because people are so excited about it,
It's just they're like such a pumped crowd. I have to do some material about weed. I can't just get up
sure.
there and talk about other stuff. But they're just a great crowd and a great
people
mood.
Would riot if you got up there and did a political chunk that didn't involve weed.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think that weed kind of spreads out amongst conservatives and sure. liberals. So I try not to get too political, even though.
Doug Benson is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Sold out at the Punchline San Francisco tonight. Sacramento, two shows, taping a live album. That's tomorrow night. We have more for Doug when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Doug Benson in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. We're thrilled to have Doug today because it is, after all, 420 Eve. And by the way, Doug, I know you're going to be out of town, but let me tell you about what's going on tomorrow's Kevin and Bean Show in honor of 420.
Oh,
first of all,
I love it.
Wee Man is coming in studio. He's got something called Chronic Taco, Kevin. Do we even remember what that is?
Yeah, it's a restaurant that he owns.
That's what he's going to be talking about. Ziggy Marley on the show tomorrow, talking about Marijuana Man, his superhero. We've got Slightly Stupid tickets. And Bob Saget. Is Bob Saget, is he part of the group?
I don't know. I don't.
What do you mean part of the group?
Doug's people. Yeah,
I think they depict him as being part of it on Entourage. I think he sits around and smokes with Turtle, but I don't know about.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I'd go with no.
Well, we'll find out. That's all tomorrow, right here on the Kevin Bean Show. Doug is in town right now, leaving for San Francisco for the Punchline tonight. That is sold out, and then two shows in Sacramento tomorrow night, where you're going to be taping a live album, and then you're also going to be at a place called Flappers in Burbank on May 15th at 4:20 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Now what's going on?
I do 4:20 matinees in the comedy clubs that will let me, because it just you get a very specific crowd when you do that, because not a lot of people are expecting a comedy club to be open at 4:20 in the afternoon.
Most comedians aren't up by then either. So
it's about when I'm usually up by then. So comedy club out in Burbank. I just discovered it. I guess it's been there for almost a year now. Called Flappers. It's like a full time comedy club, and they're like, "Hey, do you want to come out and do a show?" And I said, "Yeah." If I could do it at 4:20 in the afternoon, you know,
they had
I would
have
love
a meeting
to.
Where they went, this dude wants to do a show at 4:20 in the afternoon. I mean, they get it, but
yeah, no, they get it when they see the
bartenders. We have
but the food sales go up, sure. You know, so that's when it clicks in. I did a show in the afternoon once where they sold. It was in the South. They sold deep fried Snickers.
Oh, sweet.
And they were like, we'd never sold so many of those at a show before.
I need to do that. We just got back from Coachella this past weekend, and there's Tent City where people sleep in a tent for 4 days. And they're, I mean, you can't walk by them without getting high. So I was thinking, I need to get a tent and sit there and set up a little store with some food. You can clean up.
Oh, that's right. There are no vendors to speak of in Tent City?
I didn't see any. No. I mean, I went on Thursday before the show opened, so.
Not even a guy with a cooler full of, you know, iced water?
That's what
I'm
saying.
You'd clean up?
I would clean up.
That would be a great deal. It's too bad you found success in another way. Your years on the radio, it's going to waste. You could be out there selling people
I could
food
do both.
In Tent City.
I could do both.
Oh, then you will double your wealth, my friend.
Doug is, he told us during the break, by the way, that he just got back from New Orleans. You do a ton of traveling. Do you have a favorite city to go to play? Is there an audience somewhere that's better than anywhere else in the country for you?
It's honestly San Francisco.
How come? Really?
Yeah, because it is the most, like, even if you're a tourist in San Francisco that you've just come for the, you know, the hills and the, you know, the buildings and, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge because you're a fan of suicide. Even if you're just anyone who's visiting, they tolerate everything. It's like if you're willing to, how racist or homophobic can you be if you're willing to go to San Francisco and hang out there on your vacation?
So you just find that the crowds are much more easygoing,
like,
and
yeah, the people that live there are great. Yeah. But then also the people visiting, they just go for the ride. Like in stand-up comedy clubs, you don't get a lot of, you know, groaning about stuff, and you don't get a lot of you know, them not getting the joke. Everybody's just there to have. It's just a pleasant city to be in because it's so beautiful. Like,
yeah.
You know, as long as I guess it might rain tonight, but it's a beautiful place, and I always have a great time there. But of course, there's lots of other cities that are a very close second. You know, like
all
Seattle,
of the other cities
Seattle's
that you
great.
Played.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and Portland's great. You know, there's lots of places. Any place where, you know, everybody's really into weed, it works out pretty good for me.
Sure.
And that's why Sacramento's going to be so much fun tomorrow night, because that town is very okay with marijuana.
Interesting.
I've been on their morning...
Are you joking?
I've been on their morning TV show there, and the guy wouldn't stop asking me questions about pot. You know,
really?
And I kept saying, hey, you know, children are, you know, families are watching TV this
wow,
time
when
of day.
You're the voice of reason on weed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah,
Doug Benson
crazy.
Has said, hey, dial back the pot talk, would you? What's going on here?
It surprises me, because like one time I was on morning TV in Kentucky, and the guy was like a newsman, was this old guy, and we sat down to do an interview, and I went, oh, this is going to be, he's going to know nothing of my work or have anything interesting to ask me. And then first thing out of the gate, he goes, did you know that marijuana is the number one cash crop in Kentucky? And again, I was like, dude,
I'm
kids are watching.
Doug Benson is here on the Kevin Bean Show, sold out at the Punchline San Francisco tonight, two shows in Sacramento tomorrow, and then the Flappers in Burbank at 4:20 in the afternoon is going to be on May 15th. Real quick before you go, Doug, because I haven't had a chance to ask you this, you're still doing your movie podcast, of course, available through iTunes. How did it go with Ralph? Ralph sat in on you since the last time we saw you. He sat in on the podcast.
Yeah, Ralph came out, and he was on with TJ Miller. And I think Andy Wood, maybe a comedian friend of mine, and he was great. It was really fun having him, and I'm sure he's mad because we play a movie trivia game. And I don't think he won.
Oh, uh-oh. How's that possible?
That is shocking to me. He wins all the movie trivia games around here.
I know.
No one's even in his league when it comes to that
stuff. But it's because it's a game that's sort of devised for my guests that don't that aren't good at it. So that everyone can sort of play. And so it's one of those games where you can get screwed by the other players and not get in there and win when you know much more than they do.
The questions were too easy because other people were allowed to participate. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Anyway, check out the Ralph Garman episode at iTunes of Doug's podcast. And you do it once a week, I guess. You put up a new one there.
Yeah, generally there's one new one a week. And then I do like premium episodes. I go out on the road and tape an episode of the show and then throw those in the comedy album section. It's like $2 and it goes to charity. It all goes to marijuana.
All right, Doug. Great to see you, man. Have fun in your travels this week. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, man.
Ooh, the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:39.
Morgan Spurlock, next hour on the Kevin DeBean Show. The great William Shatner joins us too. Plus, don't forget, we're giving away tickets to go see Soundgarden every day this week, including today, July 22nd at the Forum. Tickets go on sale Saturday at 10, or just be caller 20 when you hear us play any song from Soundgarden. It could be coming up at any time on the Kevin DeBean Show. Kevin, what's going on with your man, Nicolas Cage? You've been in New Orleans lots of times and have never been arrested. What did Nick do?
Well, Nicolas Cage was in New Orleans, and he was drinking, and he was drunk. Now, that's not the story. The story is, apparently, he was arguing with his wife about where they live.
I can honestly say I've never had that fight.
Me either. He's like, oh, no, the address of our house is such and such. And she's like, no, it's not. It's something else. So they were yelling, and a cabbie called the police, and the police showed up. Now, according to this article, according to TMZ, the police said, look, why don't you just go home? You know, clearly you're a little drunk and you're arguing and it doesn't seem like it's that seriously. Just go home. And Nicolas Cage said, why don't you just arrest me?
Dude.
Now, I've never used those words. Those words are dumb.
Usually the best news ever is what a police officer says.
Right.
Get away from me. Get out of my sight. So we have many questions about this story. So we asked producer Alex to line up Nicolas Cage for us, fresh out of jail in New Orleans, and he joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hey, Nick, how are you?
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
We're good.
Well, we're fine. Where the hell are you? It's very noisy there.
I'm in the French Quarter.
You're still
celebrating my release.
Still in New Orleans. All right. Okay.
Yes, I'm really enjoying it here. It's quite a party town.
Yeah.
Sounds like it, especially for you. Is there any way you can move a little bit away from the music?
I don't know. It's everywhere. I'll see what I can do.
All right. Okay. So what happened the other night with your wife? This video, surveillance video of you in the tattoo shop. You're carrying a drink. It seems like you're just blotto.
Yeah, the whole thing was blown out of proportion, I think.
It was.
I just wanted to get some fresh art, some skin art.
Right. You're in a tattoo shop.
Yeah.
Right?
In honor of my successful series of films, National Treasure, I got the preamble to the Constitution tattooed on my scrotum.
That's a surprise.
Yeah. That's a real treasure hunt. And you're looking for that.
Sure. Oh, I see. I got you. Okay. And what happened? Were you too drunk?
Cocktails. We were having some cocktails. I won't lie.
Yeah.
And we just had a disagreement about where we lived.
Right. Okay. How many houses do you have in New Orleans?
Oh, let's see. What day is it?
Well, I think today's Tuesday.
Four.
Four houses.
Yeah. And I forgot which one we were staying in.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I said, Alice, it's this one. She said, no, it isn't.
Okay.
And so I grabbed her to try to take her in the right direction. And this cab driver thought it was his business to tell me how to handle my wife.
Okay.
And so he called the cops.
Right. And the police showed up and they realized there was no actual, there wasn't abuse or beating or anything like that going on. It was just a healthy disagreement between the two of you.
Exactly. And they said, oh, her eyes look swollen. And I say, well, she's Asian.
Oh, Nick.
So, Nick, what about the part of the story that confounds everyone, which is they offered to let you just go home, and you said, no, no, why don't you arrest me?
No,
what was
said,
that
why
about?
Why don't you bless me, I said.
What?
Okay. I said, why don't you let me rest?
I don't think either of those are likely to what
why
happened.
Why don't you depress me, I said. You're depressing me.
Nicholas, here's the thing. Is that
any of these working?
No.
No.
And here's why. Because you said it to him twice. Apparently you said, why don't you just arrest me once? And then they said, no, seriously, just go home. And then you said it again.
Listen, I know I have my flaws.
Right.
I may not always make the best decision.
Right.
I mean, have you seen Drive Angry?
Right.
Ghost Rider.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it could go on and on, really.
You really could.
Yeah, you could. You absolutely could.
But I think sometimes, especially in New Orleans, you have to cut a fellow some slack, you know?
Right, but you were saying, you were daring them to arrest you. That seems dumb to me. I don't care how drunk I am. If a cop says go home, I'm going home.
But I didn't double dare them.
That's true. You got to give them that.
I didn't double dog dare them.
Right.
I didn't triple double dog dare them.
You dared them enough that you ended up arrested.
Yeah, there was that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Your mugshot is one of the greatest celebrity mugshots ever. We have it at KevinBean.com as the picture of the day today. Do you even remember having that photo taken?
I think I look better in that film than I do in Drive Angry, quite frankly. My hair looks good.
Why didn't you open your eyes? You look dead.
I was sleeping.
Oh, okay.
You were asleep standing up at the police station.
Yeah.
I see. Well, you're going to have to slow your roll a little bit, Nick, because this sounds like you're on a dangerous path, my friend.
Well, you know, people say to me, Nick, you have to slow down. And I say, why don't you just arrest me? Why don't you just arrest me?
Right, but that's people. You shouldn't say that to cops.
Yeah, I got to get a new line.
Yeah,
yeah, you do.
Okay. Why don't you just... No, that was Mel Gibson's line. Never mind.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:52.
Time for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday. What's going on, Ralph?
Just listening to the King of Mexico and Bean talk about their plans makes me realize when I die and go to hell, which I am assured to do.
Yeah.
I'll show up, and it'll be Dave and Bean at Bean's house. And the door will be open and say, hey, come on in.
Welcome.
Dun, dun, dun. Now, flames will shoot up, and Bean will have a horns and a pitchfork.
Is he the devil?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
First of all, I don't know why you're saying this. The King of Mexico is coming to visit me. His third, by the way, trip to Seattle to come
Bean,
visit me.
Are you
me.
Excited about me coming up to see you at your house?
And we're gonna have a great time. We always have fun when Dave comes to visit.
Yes, Dave. We'll find something fun to do.
No, we'll just hang.
Oh, no, no, no. We'll get some exciting things to do. Have you ever watched any of those episodes of The Twilight Zone?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, sweet heaven.
Look, you know how much Dave loves TV, and you know how much I love TV. So we're like on Friends, you know, with Chandler and Joey with our matching chairs. We sit there and watch some TV and have fun. Hello? Is this thing on?
It is, unfortunately.
Hell. Just like to say that Dave visits me. No one else visits
Hell
me.
On an island. You don't invite anyone to ever come see you.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
Dave's the only one who's invited. That's right.
Time for the showbiz.
It's Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are in stores. I want to give you a heads up on some things you may want to pick up. The new Gorillaz CD is available. The Fall, that's out. Book of David by DJ Quick. Also new CD today. Glee, the music, presents the Warblers. They've got their own CD now. That's the all-male academy where Kurt now goes. They all dress in the blazers, and they sing their a cappella love songs.
Okay.
Oh. Mostly to each other.
All right. Okay, then.
And also want to give you a heads up, a very, very funny comedian named Brad Williams, who we're going to be having on the show in May. He is a little person comedian.
Sweet.
You don't see a lot of little people comedians. Because they have lousy sense of humor, basically, most of them.
They're an angry
little bunch.
And bitter.
But Brad is very funny. He's got a brand new comedy album on iTunes and Amazon. You can check it out. It's called Coming Up Short is the name of the CD.
See?
See what he did there?
Beware of the midgets. They're taking over the world.
Right. Already you can say he's got a better sense of humor than most of the little people.
That's true.
You can check that out. King's Speech is on DVD. Bambi, the old Disney classic, available as well. Disney sends these out in short little spurts.
Right.
These movies. Yeah, well, if you don't pick them up while they're available, they disappear. They put them back in the vault and you can't get them.
Right.
That's how I got burned on Tron. Remember? I got burned on Tron.
Oh, the original, yeah.
They put it out 20 years ago and boom, it was off the market. So if you want Bambi, get it.
Okay.
Now that I got a little girl at home, I'm buying all these things. The minute they come out, I'm like, I got to get one because next thing I know, I want to show it to her when she's seven and I can't because it's not on the shelves anymore.
I won't have it.
Disney has me panicked about buying classic Disney films now.
Yeah.
Because if the release schedule is anything like it was for Tron, it won't be available till she's in college.
That's right. And then she misses out on the Bambi experience.
And my wife's like, but Bambi's mother died. I was like, I know. It's a hard lesson to learn, but the kid's got to learn.
Doesn't matter. What you picture lessons. Is your kid.
The tough lessons.
Your kid is grown up and sitting in a therapist's office, and she's saying, my dad never got me that movie.
That's right. Never got me Bambi. So
how about a spoiler alert the next time you're going to ruin a movie for me, too, by the way, Garvin?
From 1957 or something.
How about
this
a little
movie?
Heads up? If you haven't seen it, maybe turn down your headphones. You ever think about that?
God. Hell. I'm telling you, hell.
I'm with you.
Arnold Schwarzenegger said...
Uh-oh, you don't want him sad.
He says he can barely look in the mirror anymore. And not because of what he did to the state of California. No, it's because he's old. He's 63 years old. And he says, when I feel so S-word when I look in the mirror at myself.
Sad?
Sad, yeah.
It's not hot anymore, that's why.
It's not hot. He said, I'm not competing, I'm not ripping my shirt off or trying to sell my body, but when I stand in front of the mirror and really look, I wonder, what the F happened here?
Wait, how old is he?
Jesus Christ, what a beating, he says when he looks at himself. He's 63. And he's still for 63, he's in great shape.
That's what I was going to say.
But you have to remember, this guy was a guy who obsessed about every ounce of fat on his body, every muscle, what he looked like, did nothing but dedicate himself to his looks for the entirety of his adult life.
But he had an office job for 6 years. It's not his fault. He had something else to do.
Well, it's not even that. I mean, he's still in good shape even for a guy who worked in an office, but
he looks great
for 63.
He's heavier.
You know, he's got his crow's feet. His skin is sagging. He's just older.
Yeah.
And he's miserable, according to friends and family, because he's old.
Hmm. The closest thing in our lives to Governor Schwarzenegger is Psycho Mike. And I don't think he'll ever get to 63 because I think he'll take his own life before he gives up being the pretty one.
Well, see, here's this is what gives me great joy about this, is that all the people who are beautiful and spend all their time primping in the mirror and looking at how beautiful they are and supporting their beauty and working out and staying thin and beautiful, this is what you have to look forward to.
Yeah.
Now, me... I look like crap now. I've always looked like crap. I looked like crap when I was younger. I'm not missing a thing. I'm going to be the same level of crappiness throughout my entire life. I'll never want to look at me and go, oh, I used to be so beautiful. Now look at me. No, I look like crap now. Looked like crap when I was younger. I look like crap when I was older. It's a nice consistency. Nothing I ever have to worry about. Never have to worry
That's
about
right.
losing my looks because I never had any.
It is one
so
of the keys
suck
to happiness.
It, beautiful people.
Teach them a lesson or two.
Would you trade it all to be one of the beautiful people for the best 25 years of your life, though, Ralph?
No, because then you have to deal with the remainder of your life, which is mourning the loss of that which you had.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You got to look in the mirror every morning and say, oh, what did I do? Should I get a facelift? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I try to recapture somehow that lost glory? I don't have to worry about a bit of that.
Yeah.
I just keep drinking.
There's a freedom
that's
in
all
that.
That's all matters.
There's a freedom in looking in the mirror and going, it'll never get any worse or better. Could get worse, but not much.
Freedom and ugly. Yeah, it really won't be appreciable, really.
It's like driving an old car. You can beat it up.
You get another scratch on the fender or whatever. It's like, okay, it's fine, you know? People driving the Lamborghinis are panic-stricken every time they pull into a parking lot.
That's right.
Not us. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Tim Curry, 65 years old today. Hip-hop mogul Suge Knight turns 46. Ashley Judd is 43 years old today. Speaking of aging well, she looks great for 43.
Yeah.
Jesse James is 42.
Although I'm a little turned off by all the Judds in the last 2 weeks coming out talking about how every single one of them was abused and fondled and mutilated and all the bad things that happened to them growing up.
They were mutilated?
Or whatever. I didn't pay attention to the details. But it just sounds like they're bringing me down. Every one of them's a bummer now.
Well, they're in country music, two of them. They got to bring you down. That's their job.
I guess. That's their job, yeah.
James Franco is 33. Kate Hudson is 32. Hayden Christensen celebrates his 30th birthday. And Maria Sharapova is 24 years old today. Sure, she's 24 now. But in 20 years, she's going to be 44. She's going to be like, oh, what happened to my face and my boobies and all those things that I used to have that were so wonderful? Ha! Suck it, Maria. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
She says she's sorry, but she won't quit. Even her party boss thinks Marilyn Davenport, the Orange County Republican Committee, ought to resign. An apology's not enough. She sent an email with Obama's head on a chimp's body. Didn't bother this GOP colleague.
She didn't sit there and go, ha, 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 and type all sorts of stuff with it. She simply forwarded something on it that was relating to, wonder why there's no birth certificate, now you know well.
The president's in good historical company. Some of Abe Lincoln's cabinet called him ape behind his back. Did you know it was screen-free week? Turn off your TV, video game, computer. and talk to each other.
Mom on her BlackBerry and Dad on the cell phone, and each of the kids has some electronic device. They sit down at the meal and nobody talks to each other.
They do seem to like it that way. She said the Duke lacrosse team raped her. Nothing came of Crystal Mangum's charges, but in Durham, North Carolina, she's now charged with stabbing her boyfriend to death. Clouds and 60s forecast, 60 at K-Rock. I'm Doc on the Rock.
Keep listening all week for your last chance to win tickets to the Big Four. 106.7 KROQ FM and HD1. Pasadena, Los Angeles, Orange County. Rock of the 80s, HD2. Yeah, yeah! The world famous rock.
Listening to the world famous K Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Congratulations to Clark Benlin, by the way, from Santa Barbara, who picked up tickets to go see Soundgarden at the Forum. The band is back together again, and they are playing July 22nd. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at 10. We'll have more tickets for you tomorrow and more Big Four tickets as well. All right, always a pleasure to welcome our next guest back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Morgan Spurlock joins us. The movie is called Palm Wonderful, presents Thank the greatest you. Movie ever sold. It may be the first time one of the sponsors of the film has actually been in the title of the film, but that's kind of the point of the movie. How are you, Morgan?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
It's great to have you again. The movie opens in limited release this Friday at the Arclight in Hollywood and the Century 9 in San Francisco. We know you from your documentaries that you've made, the Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden, What Would Jesus Buy, Super Size Me is probably your most famous. What's going on with the new one? What's this all about?
Well, this is, we wanted to make a film that looks at this whole world of kind of product placement, marketing, and advertising, and the whole film is actually paid for and made possible by product placement, marketing, and advertising.
Sweet.
So you had paid for itself?
Well, that's the thing. First time ever that I think a film actually opens and is already in profit as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So you didn't go to a studio and get them to pony up a dime to make this movie? Actually went to advertisers first before you shot anything.
That's exactly right. We went to advertisers. Well, first we went to advertising companies, and then we went to product placement companies, neither of which wanted to help us.
So really?
Not one. Like, we had one advertising agency that would help us out of, like, dozens and dozens
of companies.
Did
they think you were going to slam them?
Well, they were worried. They were worried that it was going to kind of pull the wool back and show everybody what really goes on in the ad business. And then the same thing with product placement. Like, no product placement company would help us in New York, LA, San Fran, and only two people that are based here in LA would go on camera to do interviews, to even talk about the film. These two guys, Britt Johnson and Norm Marshall.
Now, Morgan, when I first heard the idea for the movie, I thought, I wonder if there's a film there, because I don't think people are outraged or angry about product placement in movies, because we expect it now. We know that, don't most people kind of know that if you see somebody driving a Chrysler in a movie, it's because Chrysler paid to have the car in the movie?
Yeah, I mean, I think some people know. But
who gets upset by that? I mean, I guess that's what I'm thinking.
I tell you what I get upset by. The whole idea of this came from an episode of Heroes, and I love Heroes. Season 1 of Heroes, one of the greatest seasons of television ever created.
I'm right there with you.
Okay. Season 2 of Heroes, not so much.
Right.
Not so much. But in the beginning of Season 2, Hayden Panettiere, the cheerleader, is coming out of school one day. You know, she's sad. They've moved to a new town. You know, things aren't going the way she hoped. You know, she's been there a month now, and her birthday's coming up, and she's like, I really wanted things to be different, Dad. It's like, with my birthday. And he's like, oh, honey, your mom and I, we were going to save this, but you mean a lot to us. We're really proud of you. And he reaches in his pocket, and as he pulls out something out, camera cuts to the front of a car, dollies past the Nissan logo, goes through the frame,
wow.
Goes back to him holding the keys in front of her face, rack focused to her face, and she goes, the Nissan Rogue, the Rogue? Oh my God, Dad, it's the Rogue. You're giving me the Rogue. I can't believe the Rogue. And I went, wow, I really just saw a commercial in the middle of this show.
Well, here's the problem.
Happened. That's the problem, yeah. is that there are a lot of shows that can work it in effortlessly, and then there are others that do it so poorly that you're slapped in the face with it.
And especially for a show that I was evangelizing about, I was proselytizing about, that was beloved to me, and to have something like that happen, you're like, wow, it's like, really, we just kind of
did
blew
she go on and
here.
Give the mileage and the,
But later on the show, she was leaving a party. She was going, oh, come on, guys, let's get out of here to the Rogue.
Now, Morgan, does it bother you in real life when you're watching, say, the Super Bowl and the most valuable player gets a new Range Rover or something? Does that bug you too, or no, because that's real?
Well, I mean, I feel like you can't watch a football game without the Pepsi double play or the Chevrolet player of the game now.
By the way,
Rolaids Relief Man's been around forever.
There's a lot smaller than that, Bean. It's a lot smaller than the MVP. I mean, they do. Yeah. In basketball, they'll do the double mint gum replay. And it's just a replay of the last play.
That's exactly right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the whole thing. The film just kind of explores this whole world that we live in now where everything seems to be brought to you by some sponsor, including this movie. Palm Wonderful presents the greatest movie ever sold.
Sure. Now, it sounds to me, as you're describing it, that you think it's bad in most cases?
Well, I mean, I think that what we are getting into now is a place where, because it's not just about product placement, it extends into marketing and advertising, where everywhere you go, somebody's trying to market and sell you something,
right.
No matter where it is, from whether you're at a football game or watching a television show or standing in front of a urinal where I thought that was the last place where I could have some quiet time for me. But no, suddenly there's like ads there, there's urinal cakes, there's all the good things that just make us, fine consumers.
I will say the first time, and it's been a number of years now, but the first time I bought gas and a little screen popped up and started showing a commercial while I was being held hostage because I was pumping gas, I couldn't get away from it. I thought, they really are forcing me to look at this thing or at least hear it.
Yeah, like cabs in New York now, like all the cabs have taxi TV.
Yeah.
All the elevators now are getting video screens in them. The buses now are starting to install videos. It's amazing.
Do you think it's much worse now that the economy is in having a hard time. Because I've always seen it, but it seems to have really stepped up. Like, for example, I'll give you a perfect example. We never did commercials with our voices on this radio station.
Oh, like the talks. Like we never taught reads.
Right. Yeah. So, but we had to. So we said, okay, fine, we understand. That's the way it goes. But we have clients who come to us and they say, we want you to do it in the course of your conversation, work it in like it's not. And we would say, no, we need to have a little sounder. We want to at least make it sound like it's within the flow of the show.
That's right.
And that to us is offensive. So we say, no, we're not going to do that, but maybe we'll do this. We have to work with them, but
you gotta
it's
figure
gotten
out a
much
way.
Worse.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree with that. And this whole conversation, by the way, brought to you by Paul and Wonderful Presents, the greatest show we ever sold. I think that as the economy's gotten worse, it has made a difference. And because you are seeing people who are scrambling to keep market share, to keep selling products, to get eyeballs, whatever it may be. And TV is also falling into that. And that's the thing is now we're all DVRing. What's the last time like you had appointment television, the Super Bowl, playoffs, you say, I'm going to be home at 8 o'clock to watch something. Nobody does that anymore.
Tonight, right? 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Kings playoffs brought to you by the Kings.
There you go. Brought to you by the Kings.
Well, they didn't pay anything for it.
That's
I didn't get money for that.
Gosh, see, you went and ruined it.
This is the voice of our guest, Morgan Spurlock, on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about his new film called Palm Wonderful Presents, the greatest movie ever sold. Hey, before we go to break and come back with more, Morgan, tell me about the title, Palm Wonderful Presents. Tell me about the process of getting an above-the-line sponsor for a movie.
Well, I mean, it took months. From the time we first started going out and pitching advertisers, product placement companies, and then calling the brands ourselves, it took 9 months before the very first company said yes. And the first company that said yes was Band Deodorant. Band Deodorant became the linchpin of the greatest movie ever sold. And once they said yes, suddenly all these other companies, wanted to come on board.
Really?
Palm being one of them.
So it just took one person to take stand out or whatever.
Yeah, nobody ever wants to be first. Right. Especially in business, nobody wants to be first. So we started pitching these companies and we wanted to sell the above the title sponsorship, the Staples Center, Qualcomm Stadium, above the title naming rights for $1 million. So Palm came in and, got the above the title naming rights and are the greatest antioxidant you'll ever drink.
So there's no question they're getting $1 million worth of publicity, getting their name in front of all the people.
Right? Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like they're getting well over. I mean, after the film premiered at Sundance, Linda Resnick, who's the CEO of the company, she's based here in Los Angeles, she didn't come to the premiere, but I called her and said, everybody wanted to see you at the movie. Everybody asked about you. You're the one person everybody wants to meet.
Right.
And she goes, oh, Morgan, don't you wish you had ESP? And I said, why? And she goes, because if you had ESP, you'd have known how well the film was going to do, and you'd have known to ask for more money.
Oh, he burned you.
I know.
Sweet. Morgan, are you, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm dying for your perspective. Are you a well-known enough filmmaker now that people automatically don't want to be on camera with you, just like it's almost never good news when the 60 Minutes crew shows up at your house?
That's right, exactly. I think it's...
Michael Moore.
Yeah, well, when I call people, was we were trying to call people to come on this film, the consistent answer was, I already saw what you did to that one company. Why do I want to be a part of this?
Yeah.
So,
no, thanks.
Yeah, it was very difficult. We called over 600 companies to sponsor this film and got 22.
Wow.
Yeah.
But the 22 people in the film, I'm guessing, look awfully smart now. They look like the savvy business people who understand the way the world works because they're working with you.
I completely agree. I mean, I think they definitely look smarter than the average bear. And then there's brands that I think come off looking very badly because they didn't take part.
The movie is called Palm Wonderful Presents, the greatest movie ever sold. We have many more questions for our guest, Morgan Spurlock, when we come back, including some of the famous people that you interviewed in the movie. That looks fascinating to me. And also, how did Morgan end up in a bathtub shampooing a mini horse? We'll discuss after this on the Kevin and Bean. The great William Shatner joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Morgan Spurlock in theaters now. In studio now. By the way, Morgan, I was very sad when you stopped doing your 30 Days show. I love that TV show so much.
Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, the fact that we got to do 3 seasons with FX was incredible. But, thank goodness we even got to do those.
Morgan's back to his day job now with documentary movies. The new one is called Palm Wonderful Presents, the greatest movie ever sold, opening in limited release on Friday, the Arclight in Hollywood, Century 9 in San Francisco. You're in a bathtub shampooing a mini horse. Now, you don't see that very often. It looked like a scene out of Jackass.
Well, I'm from West Virginia. I think I see that all the time.
Well, maybe you do. Maybe it's common in your neighborhood. But how did it happen, Morgan, if you're not giving too much away?
Sure. Well, we wanted to find different sponsors to fulfill different categories. And so as I was going through a drugstore in New York City, just trying to write down products, brands, companies to call, I stumbled upon a shampoo called Mane and Tail. And Mane and Tail is a shampoo that is for both people and horses.
for those people who don't know.
I was just in the other room. Let me just interrupt for 1 second. I was just in the other room with the King of Mexico, our assistant producer. He said, "That's good shampoo."
Does he use it?
I guess.
He has a lovely mane. I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
So we started calling them, and I was stalking them like crazy, trying to get them to be a part of this. Finally, we got them on the phone, and I pitched them, how I want to integrate them in the film. I said, in the movie, what I really want to do is, here's how I see it in the film. You'll start up on a close-up of the bottle. We'll pull back. You'll see me washing my little boy's hair. Then you'll pull back a little more. You'll see me washing my hair. You'll pull back a little bit more, and I turn to the left, and there I am washing my Shetland pony in the bathtub. Yeah.
Sweet. Now, did they say, hold it a second there?
They said, that's a great idea. Yeah, you should do that.
Wow.
Did you get money from them also, or is this the scene only in the film so that you could give them publicity?
Well, it was it is actual product placement. So they gave us product to put within the film, and now they're doing there's two types of monies that will happen too. There's hard money where they give you hard cash, right. And then soft money where they do promotion. So we've got soft money from them where they're doing all of these email blasts, and if you go to their website mainandtail.com, the third picture of the lovely ladies that use Mane and Tail is a very pale documentarian.
Sweet. Tell me about some of the people that you interviewed for the film that beyond the people in advertising. You went to some names we know.
Yeah, some incredible filmmakers, people who can talk about, the impact of product placement and advertising on movies, on, this cross section between, art and commerce. We spoke to Quentin Tarantino and Peter Berg, J.J. Abrams, Brett Ratner. It was a great cross section of filmmakers who kind of just talked about what happens in Hollywood. And, you asked about the influence. Brett Ratner, one of my favorite interviews, the whole thing where we were asking him, is there a real difference? These people control the content. He goes, listen, it's a compromise. It's called the movie business.
Yeah.
And so then, and then we asked him, he says, well, do you fear, that you lose artistic integrity by doing this? And he goes, artistic integrity, whatever. one of my favorite lines in the movie.
But it is funny because, I think about a guy like J.J. Abrams, who's a hero to all of us.
Love him. Yeah.
And it seems like he's a genius and he ought to be able to do whatever he wants. But the reality is he's got to pay for the movie and the movie's got to make money for a lot of different people. The movie's got to play all over the world.
That's
and
right.
I guess he does have to go into meetings sometimes where he goes, yeah, I guess they can wear Nike sneakers instead of the Adidas sneakers. I guess they can do that. I mean, it's just part of the deal, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing is, especially when you're doing some of these budget films, $100 million, $200 million dollar movies, where for that movie to make its money back, it's got to make $500 million. And so, the studios are trying to do everything they can to create this event mentality around movies. So you got to have the cup, the T-shirt, the hat, the shoes,
sure,
all these people that will help co-promote the film. And that's one of the lines I also love is, Peter Berg talks about this movie business, the business side of it. And he's directing the Battleship adaptation. He's directing the game turned into a $200 million space battleship movie.
Right.
And he says, listen, my boss is GE. They make weapon systems and satellites and they don't give a flying, about art.
Right.
These guys want to make sure there's money coming in.
Sure.
Yeah. So the fact that these guys were so open and honest about the business, I thought was awesome.
That's cool. Who told you on the phone? You said would nudity help? And they said, yeah, I think
that was Joe Cola. Joe Cola's like, yes, please, more nudity. Yeah, but it's like over the course of calling brands, I was calling clothing companies trying to get, the official clothing company. And so I'd call Abercrombie and Fitch and ask them, and the people at Abercrombie would be like, have you looked in a mirror? Do you want us to explain to you why you're not Abercrombie material?
Aww.
And at that point, you're like,
come on, none of us are.
Yes, please tell me why I'm so terrible.
Morgan, did you merchandise out your documentary? Or is this going to be the first documentary I can go and buy a 7-Eleven Big Gulp cup with your face on it?
Well, we tried to get 7-Eleven to make, Big Gulps and Slurpee cups, but they said no. So did Circle K, so did Wawa, so did Sinclair. But we got a convenience store chain that's based in Pennsylvania that has 400, outlets throughout Ohio, Pennsylvania, where else? Virginia, West Virginia, North Carolina, Maryland, called Sheetz.
Sheetz.
And so when the film opens this Friday, you'll be able to go to any of the 400 Sheetz locations and get your greatest movie ever sold collector cups.
How about that?
Yeah. Fantastic. What a horrible name for a convenience store, by the way.
Were you surprised by how many people turned you down?
Yes.
Because, yeah. like Bean was yeah. saying, it's almost like it's like why, of, it's accepted now.
Yeah, it's like, everybody why wouldn't knows. They just do it? And, yeah. and to actually be in on it and like be able right. to help construct this narrative in a really interesting and fun
but
way.
But a lot of people told you no because they were Hundreds. Afraid of negative repercussions?
I think they were afraid of negative repercussions. I think they were afraid of how they potentially – because they didn't get final cut of the movie. Like nobody got right. to like approve the film. So I think that was the big one. All these companies want to have control. And so the sure. minute they have to give that up, they get very scared.
Right. Yeah. All right. In our final minute with director Morgan Spurlock talking about Palm Wonderful presents the greatest movie ever sold. Tell me about a band I love that we play called OK Go. How did they get involved?
It was fantastic. Well, it started off with a conversation with Jonathan McHugh, who's a music supervisor that works at Universal Music here in town. He and I had lunch, and he said, well, if you're going to make the greatest movie ever sold, you got to have the greatest soundtrack. He goes, it just has to happen. So sure. we started reaching out to musicians. So in the film, you see us talk to Big Boy. You know, we talked to Moby. We talked to Matt and Kim. And then, you know, I went and met with OK Go and showed them the film where we were at the time, about an hour into the movie. And said, would you guys be interested and willing to do like this identity theme song, the theme song to the movie? And they were like, well, if we do, does that mean we're the greatest rock band ever to write a theme song? I was like, of course sure. it does. So they wrote the greatest song I ever heard, which is the theme to the movie, and it's amazing.
Let's hear a little bit of that.
Sweet, the greatest song I ever heard.
There's a great scene in the film where I'm talking to Damien and Tim, where we interviewed them in Colorado, and it is spectacularly funny. Yeah,
well, the movie looks very, very funny, Morgan, and that's what's great about your documentaries is you're making a point, but they're also very, very entertaining. So please, folks, go see Palm Wonderful Presents, the greatest movie ever sold.
It just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Sweet title.
Limited release this Friday, and then wider release the following Friday, April 29th. Don't miss it. Morgan, thanks a lot for coming in, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Later this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, Mixmaster Mike is going to be in studio talking about his upcoming shows with Travis Barker. We've got Adam Carolla later this week, Dave Gahan from Depeche Mode is going to be joining us, our friend Dr. Drew. And one of your favorites, Kevin, Corey Perry from the Anaheim Ducks is going to be on, too. I know you're a huge Ducks fan, so I know you're looking forward very much to talking to Mr. Perry.
I'm a Kings fan. Yeah.
What? First, though, you got a little bit of an extension this year due to a fluke in the calendar because there was a holiday in D.C. So tax day wasn't April 15th this year. It was April 18th. So you had until midnight last night to get your taxes in. Now, for many years, Kevin, you were the guy driving up to the post office at 11:55 to get your taxes in. But you don't do it that way anymore. You kind of abandoned your people, right?
Well, I mean, I'm not in charge of it anymore. My wife does it.
So, smart.
Smart, right? Because I would show up at 11:30 and wait in that line.
Right. Yeah. But by now, you should certainly have your taxes in or have the extension filed for. And producer Alex tells us that our accountant, Carter Hall, the CPA that we use here on the Kevin and Bean Show, is on the phone with us. And I don't know what this is all about, but I know that we got our stuff in on time. Mr. Hall, what's going on, dude?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good.
Doing well, sir. Any trouble?
Well, I am trying to finish your returns here and get them to the post office on time. And I do have a few last-minute questions, some stuff we need to go over before I get an opportunity to do that.
Should we do this off the air?
No, it won't take but a couple minutes, okay. If you don't mind. I just have a few questions to clear up some of your deductions here before we move on.
Okay.
And I just want to say, even though I am your accountant, I do listen to the show all the time.
Oh, and, thank you, Carter. Appreciate it.
And frankly, looking at your returns, I'm shocked they pay you as well as they do. I was very surprised by that. Okay.
Well, let's not bring that up. I think they haven't noticed.
First of all, Mr. Ryder, Kevin.
Yes.
I've got a deduction here. You've got $125,000 for overseas business investments.
Yes.
Your yearly supply of Absolute Vodka really does not count as an overseas business investment, even though they are a Scandinavian company. So
really?
Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to deduct that this year as a business investment.
Well, that's a pretty big write-off.
You're simply a consumer. I'm sorry. $125K in booze.
You can't hide that someplace?
That's a lot of vodka.
Mr. Baxter, your deductions for your children, your 15 children, $73,000.
Yes. That's
children.
Legitimate. That's legitimate, yes.
Cows, sheep, and pigs do not count as children under the eyes of the IRS.
But I still have to pay for them to feed and clothe them.
I understand, but they're not actually your children.
You don't have any human children, though.
Although I've seen some photos of one of your cows, and there is a striking resemblance. Mr. Ryder,
yes.
I got one here for you, $84,000 in some sort of agricultural investment, it says here.
Agricultural
investment. And all you've given me is a stack of receipts from a marijuana dispensary in Encino. I'm not sure that is a agricultural investment. Once again, it's just a consumption.
Isn't that supporting farming, though? though? It seems like Kevin's doing his part.
Yeah, but not as an investor, strictly as a consumer.
But can't you make it look that way? Come on, work with us.
I got to play by the rules here. I'm sorry. I got my own business to worry about. Mr. Baxter,
yes.
You say $29,000 as a write-off for an art gallery that you also have in your home.
That's right.
A naked picture of O.J. Simpson in your bathroom, sir, is not considered an art gallery. You just got that and some photos of corn, and I don't believe that really.
The band?
No, actually, the vegetable, corn.
Oh, yes. Corn. Oh,
photos of close-up photos of kernels of corn.
And how much is he trying to write off for that?
$29,000.
But every time someone comes to visit the house, they look at the stuff on the walls. Doesn't that make it an art gallery?
No, it does not, sir. No, it's not an actual business expense.
I thought I got one over you there.
Mr. Ryder, you have a $68,000 deduction here for a second home. Sleeping in your car at Coachella, sir, does not really make your car a home. It just makes you drunk.
Well, is there an amount of time I need to spend in my car to make it a home?
Simply crashing in the driver's seat does not count. I'm sorry.
Wow, you're getting tough this year with the deductions, Carter.
$81,000 in business expenses for Mr. Baxter. These are basically just stocking supplies, sir. You got a webcam here in Rachel Nichols' house. You got some duct tape. You've got some chloroform and a rag.
Oh, no.
Yeah, those things really aren't business-related. I'm sorry. I know she's a guest on your show, but...
I forgot to add the Map of the Stars homes that I bought, too, for the package there.
Going to have to disallow that deduction. I'm sorry.
Wow, he's not looking for more, Bean. He's saying less. Okay.
Let's see. Once again, a second car write-off for Mr. Ryder. Kevin's got a second car write-off. Just because you drove off in someone else's car at the valet parking structure does not make it your car, sir. I'm sorry.
It was
really
for the moment.
I understand that, but you actually have to have a title for that. I'm sorry. Mr. Baxter, travel expenses, business travel expenses. I looked into it, and unfortunately, we can't get a haircut in all 50 states tour. We can't
that's
make that
legitimate business.
Yeah, sorry, that's not business. It's just dumb. It's just dumb. There's no dumb deduction. I apologize.
But I have to fly to all these other states to get my haircut.
You don't have to, really. You could just get your haircut right there where you live.
All right. I think we need a new CPA. I don't like the way this is going.
Crap right there. And lastly, we got, for Mr. Ryder, we got $15,000 in speech therapy. Come on, we've heard you.
Hey,
really?
But I'm trying to...
No. It's good. You'd have to prove you're actually getting some help for that before we'd actually write that off.
I was thinking that I could...
Nope.
No.
Hey!
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:55.
Got a great hour straight ahead for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Josh Gates. He's the host of Destination Truth. They got an episode airing tonight on the Sci-Fi Channel called Ghosts of Antarctica. They're going to Antarctica, Kevin, to look for ghosts.
Yes.
That's what Josh is doing.
That's a long way to go to not find ghosts.
And some cold-ass ghosts, by the way. If I was a ghost, that's not where I would hang.
No, not at all.
Like the ghosts of Cabo.
We'll talk to Josh about that, and the great William Shatner joins us as well. Right now, Ralph's here.
On the show.
Ralph's here with the show.
Speaking of Josh Gates, my buddy from Sci-Fi Network.
Yes, he's your buddy.
We worked together. Worked together when we did the premiere of Sharktopus. We co-hosted the commercial breaks, the ins and outs of the commercial breaks for Sharktopus. Because his show, Destination Truth, usually focuses in on searching for mythical creatures like the Loch Ness Monster and leprechauns and the Yeti and that kind of stuff. So in a tongue-in-cheek kind of way, he was taking a look at the Sharktopus. So a chance to work with him. A very nice guy. Like everybody over there at Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Sci-Fi movie starring Tiffany and Debbie Gibson where they teamed up?
Yes, I have.
Mega Gator versus Super Python or whatever that was.
No, I haven't, but I would love to.
Gatoroid versus Mega Python. I can't remember quite right now what the title
All was. I know is they had a girl fight.
They sure did. They got in. They wrestled in the swamp. And they threw food at each other, and it was awesome. And at the end, she goes, did you hear that? She goes, no, I think we're alone now. That's what she said at the end of the fight. Anyway, such a success was that film that the two mall queens, Tiffany and Debbie Gibson, are hitting the road together. They're
going
to co-headline a concert tour.
Because why so soon?
Yeah, finally. We get to see them live.
What?
It says here, I love the description, the ladies will perform their own hits and sing other tunes from the 80s as well, because their hits combined would not fill up an evening of live music.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Although, I hate to be the one to defend Debbie Gibson.
Oh,
but
here
you will.
We
no,
go.
I'm just saying, to compare her to Tiffany, although they were popular at the same time and they were both very young, Tiffany was not an artist like Debbie Gibson was. Debbie Gibson wrote and produced her own records, which was unbelievable. At 17 years old, she was writing number one songs. I mean, she was a real musical talent.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
And has gone on to have a successful career on, you know, on acting and Broadway and whatnot. I'm just saying it's hard, it's not fair to compare her to Tiffany.
Thank you, Mr. Know-It-All.
I just don't care at all.
No mas.
Only in your dreams is she an artist.
Oh, man.
Chicka
bow! All right, so let's do that tomorrow.
No, come on, that was good.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Kevin Mumford and Sons have announced they are going to road test the songs for their next album. Most bands record an album, release it, and then tour to support it.
Right.
Rolling Stone magazine says Mumford and Sons, they already have six new songs ready to go for their follow-up album, and instead of just recording it, they're going to go on the road. Keep writing on the road and try out the new tunes to their audience.
Now, a lot of acts don't like to do that because they're afraid that somebody will capture it on their phone and upload it to the internet and then it will be leaked.
Yes.
Don't you get the idea that most people have almost completely given up on just not having leaks? I mean, it almost seems like it's just a foregone conclusion. It's going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I think we have reached that point. In fact, my buddy Kevin Smith, the director of Red State, We did a couple dates of this tour together where he's showing the film. He is uploading it on BitTorrent himself. Just so he knows there's a good quality version of it out there. It's not somebody with a camera phone who
is so funny.
Recorded it during the tour and then put it up. He's going to take care of that himself because he really thinks he just can't fight it anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if you're a Steven Tyler fan or not. Lead singer, of course, of Aerosmith, now famously one of the judges on American Idol.
I'm a big fan. I was a big fan of him back when Aerosmith was good, and I have kind of fallen back in love with him, seeing him on Idol and how great he is.
I'm a give-or-take kind of guy when it comes to Steven Tyler. However, I was really moved by this gesture, which I thought was pretty cool. There was a guy named Lawrence Ory, 62 years old, had been a lifelong fan of Aerosmith. He was suffering from supranuclear palsy, which is a degenerative nerve condition that makes it almost impossible for him to talk or move. It is a debilitating and ultimately terminal illness. He was currently in a hospice, and they said even when he was lying in the bed, if an Aerosmith song came on, like Sweet Emotion or Ragdoll or something, he would be able to tap his feet and nod his head in time with the music, which was otherwise he was pretty much paralyzed. So he had a last wish, which was to meet Steven Tyler. Now, this guy's in Chicago. Tyler's in L.A., so a trip really was sort of out of the way. But Steven Tyler took it upon himself to set up with his family and friends a Skype call via laptop. So they put the laptop on this guy's lap and said, "We got a surprise for you." And up popped Steven Tyler on the Skype. And the guy really couldn't speak, so Steven did most of the talking. His family kind of answered for him
Answer
when he could.
Answer me! I went to the trouble of getting a Skype call going.
They talked about the band. He was in his hospital bed wearing an Aerosmith t-shirt, actually, when the call came in, which was coincidental. And he said that he was sending him a lot of love and support. And then later that afternoon, the guy passed away.
Wow. Oh,
so Steven Tyler killed him?
No.
Come on.
You're missing the point of the story.
Guy would still be alive and probably getting better today if he hadn't talked to Steven Tyler.
It's a touching story that his dying wish was granted just before he finally passed that day.
I get the point of the story.
No. No, that was not a setup for
either?
A punchline. No, it was just a sweet story about somebody taking time out of their busy schedule to do something nice for one of his fans.
Thank you for whipping that out on us.
You're very welcome. I thought it was a story that should have been told.
Chemo, chymo, stare, stare, mahime, ho, marum, stick a pump, a nickel, soup, bang, nip, pat, carlomage, cameo.
Yes, exactly.
He's got a point.
He does have a point there. That's what he said to the guy in the hospice, and then the guy just nodded off because he was trying to figure out what that meant.
I said, "I don't want to live anymore.
It's too taxing mentally."
He's like, "Oh, what is that? What did he?"
I thought it would be so cool to meet Steven Tyler, and it's not.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Only you two could take a story like that. Something touching.
Steven Tyler killed a dude.
I was tearing up as I read that story off the interwebs this morning, and then you guys come and just poop all over.
He killed a dude. That's the part you're ignoring.
Not our fault. We didn't kill him.
Tennis star Maria Sharapova is 24 years old today. As we look at celebrity birthdays, Hayden Christensen is 30. Hayden Christensen, by the way, is an actor
yeah.
whose first big break was in a horrible Star Wars movie. Remember when he played young Anakin?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone said, oh, that kid's awful.
Right.
Has parlayed a major, major movie career out of it.
Yeah.
Inexplicable. Inexplicable to me.
Hmm.
Keeps working.
And he has been better in other films as he's grown up and, developed as an actor.
Right. But you'd think with that entrance onto the public scene, it would
pretty
be
high profile.
Be hard pressed to continue on in the wake of that criticism.
Right.
And yet, there you go. There's hope for you guys. That's what I'm saying. There's hope for you
guys.
That's
good news.
Kate Hudson is 32 years old today. James Franco is 33. Jesse James celebrates his 42nd birthday. Ashley Judd's 43. Suge Knight turns 46 years old. And actor Tim Curry, who is 65, famously from Rocky Horror Picture Show, but also he was in that miniseries based on Stephen King's book, It. Remember that? He played Pennywise, the evil clown who lived in the sewers. Do you remember that?
No, I don't, but sounds great.
Oh, so scary. Only scarier than little kids in horror movies, by the way. Clowns.
Clowns that live in sewers.
Yeah, check it out if you get a chance. Well, clowns that live anywhere.
Clowns are not scary enough. The guy's got to live in a sewer.
Trailers, anywhere. Apartments, condos. Clowns living anywhere. It's just scary to me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
One of the great thrills of our jobs is the yearly phone call from William Shatner. Talking about the Priceline.com Hollywood Charity Horse Show, which is almost here again, April 30th, coming up at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center in Burbank. Bill, how are you, my friend?
One of the great thrills of my life is making the call. Are you kidding me?
This works out for both of us.
It works out. Listen, this horse show that I put on every year, this year in particular, Sheryl Crow is coming to sing for us.
That's pretty strong.
I mean, that's hot.
Yeah.
And but Bill, you've always had great musical entertainment. I mean, I'm thinking about some of the past years with some of the guys that you had. I mean, you have famous and rich and powerful friends, and they show up for you.
It's the darndest thing. I'm filled with gratitude. But the other part of the gratitude is I need people to fill the seats.
Sure.
And so I've got a few seats left that I want your audience to buy. Let me give you my pitch.
Okay.
Sheryl Crow is singing for us.
Right. All right.
We got a great meal from Stonefire Grill.
Okay.
Great horse entertainment from some of the best professional horsemen competing an hour before
all
dinner.
Right. Forgive me for asking this follow-up question, Bill, but what is great horse entertainment?
that is a competition called reining. It's very exciting. There may be a dozen riders competing for a big prize. I'll explain at the show what's happening.
Okay.
The audience gets totally involved, and it's a form of competition that's really exciting.
Okay.
That's great horse entertainment. Great singing entertainment, Sheryl Crow. And most important of all is every penny of the cost of the ticket goes to a large number of local charities. Children's Hospital, St. Jude's, Riding Therapy for Veterans, Starlight Foundation, Painted Turtle, Police Action League, Friends and Helpers.
That's ours, yeah.
Yes.
William Shatner has been sponsoring my wife and I's charity for how long now, Bill?
For several years, and we will continue. And what I thought this year, Kev, would be to have your listening audience. We need you guys to buy a table. The money will go right directly back to Friends and Helpers. Why don't we put a K-Rock table together, 10 seats. Kevin, you come. And I'll be there, and we'll shake hands and pose with the people at the table and call it a K-Rock table.
I don't know. I'm going to be in England for the royal wedding, Bill.
Look, I think that sounds like... I think that sounds like a fantastic idea, and I'm willing to volunteer that Kevin will do that. But I want to know, can he get a better deal at Priceline.com to buy the table at the horse show?
Can I bid on the table there and just tell him what I want to...
will give you a great deal. Wells Fargo is a great bank. Warner Brothers, Silver Spur Stables, in case you want to buy a horse. Marilyn, Jeffrey Katzenberg, and Stonefire Grill is catering the meal, a great restaurant.
Bill, I got to tell you, because my wife and I run that charity, and we give 100% of the donations to the cause, I know how difficult that is to make happen. And I know that most charities don't get anywhere near 100%.
All right, so here's what I'd like to propose. The phone number that you could call for tickets is 818-509-2290. 818-509-2290. Give us your name and number. We'll call you. If the line is busy, we'll call you. We'll make a K-Rock table. Kevin and I will be at your table at some point in time during the evening, and all the money goes to local charities, including Friends and Helpers.
I think William Shatner just booked your weekend of April 30th.
Too.
Yeah, but it sounds to me like that has just happened. We have just heard him close
that
the deal.
That just happened.
And that's Bill, how it's done.
Bill, you are the master, let's face it. But you've raised millions of dollars for charity over the years, not just with the horse show, but with all the other things that you do. But the 21st annual horse show, that's what amazed me. I mean, was it super rinky-dink when you started? And can you, even you, not believe how big it's gotten?
That is the actual fact. I started it actually more than 21, about 25, 26 years ago, and I couldn't get any help from this particular breed of horse that I was doing. And so after 3 or 4 years, I stopped with that breed of horse and started a quarter horse show. It was very small, and it's become the third or largest horse show of its kind in the United States.
Bill, do you remember when Bean and I were there and we were riding horses and we were trying to wrangle
Sheep or something, I think.
Absolutely. And I thought right then and there that your audience would love to see you make fools of yourself.
Oh, we were bad. All I know is that Bruce Boxleitner kept giving us the stink eye because we were bringing down the team. That's all I remember.
And you know what I remember? Honestly, I thought I was going to die.
Well, you might have.
Yeah.
And what good news that would have been.
I don't think it would have been good news.
How much money could we raise on your death?
Oh, if we could guarantee that Kevin would die.
Selfish you preferred to be alive.
You've got a point.
Yeah, but rather now that you're alive.
Yes.
We can
celebrate. All right, Bill, let me give all the information again for people who are listening who want to join you and Kevin at the 21st Annual William Shatner Priceline.com Hollywood Charity Horse Show. It is coming up before you know it, April 30th at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center. We have been to this event, and it is a lot of fun. The food is great, too, by the way. Horseshow.org is the website, or you can call this number, 818-509-2290. How often are you going to get a chance to pal around with the great William Shatner, who we are always delighted to have on the show? Bill, thanks a lot for calling in, my friend.
Thank you for allowing me, guys.
You bet.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 20 minutes till 10 o'clock.
Just one more P.S. on the William Shatner thing. The dude is 80.
Want you to buy six tables.
Right. The dude is 80. He's one of the most famous commercial spokespeople of all time. He's got 3 television shows on the air, and he's got an album coming out this summer. He still worked Kevin. He still worked him and basically planned his life in a 5-minute phone
call. That's why he's one of those highly paid spokespeople on television, because he can make you buy anything.
You can't say no to Bill Shatner. You can't.
But he also makes me want to, because for a couple of years, they sent money over to our charity.
Yes.
And we didn't.
And now you're sending money back. Congratulations.
But I mean, we didn't like hard press him
like he just did me.
So that was really cool.
But you're going to have so much fun hanging out with Bill and the horsies. I think you're going to have a great night on April 30th.
I'm going to have fun hanging out with
Bill. In fact, I think you should get a second table, because such a great show with the horses and the reining and Sheryl Crow. You should buy 6 tables.
Right. Again, the phone number if you want to join Kevin and his friend Bill Shatner, 818-509-2290.
I might go to that. I might go.
It really sounds like fun, right?
All right. Fantastic.
April
30th. Give me free tickets, though, right?
No way.
You got a whole table. I got a whole table of tickets.
What, I can give them away?
Yeah, sure.
I thought people had to pay.
No, you pay.
Oh,
and then
I pay.
You pay for them all, and then we get to go on your dime.
Oh, well, then it's his friends.
So Ralph's out then.
So I'm out. Yeah.
All right. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Congratulations to Game of Thrones, the new HBO series. People have been raving about this. I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
I hear there's a lot of naked people in it.
Oh, yeah. It's a medieval fantasy sword and sorcery kind of dealio.
Say naked?
Yeah. It's gritty and it's sexy and it's erotic and it's smelly because it's the Middle Ages, you know? Yeah, every time I see those movies, and I watch the Tudors, story about the royal family in England, you know?
Yeah.
And you watch that, and you watch, you know, any of these Middle Earth shows and any stuff. Every time there's sex, I keep saying, oh, the odors that must be coming off these people.
Yeah.
I never really enjoy it, because I'm always in the back of my mind thinking, they stink.
How about
not
a
good
shower?
Hygiene products available to them.
They didn't bathe. They didn't groom.
It wasn't deodorant.
And you know what they laid on? That was a comfortable bedding?
animal hides, just like just any smelly old yak skin or whatever. They'd throw it over their pile of hay and called it a bed. So they're rolling around on top of that.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's plague-ridden rats running around and stuff. It's not a good time.
It's not a sexy time to be doing it, that's for sure.
So I don't find that sexy.
I can see your point.
Yeah. Anyway, one episode has aired on HBO so far, and HBO announced today that they are renewing the show for a second season.
They're just in a hurry to get
that
in summer vacation or what?
That is a success right
there. That's crazy.
Now, they're spending a lot of money on this show. It's based on a very popular book series, so they've already got the second book lined up to do the second season.
What's the name of it?
It's called Game of Thrones. The author's a guy named George R.R. Martin. You got too many goddamn names, by the way, if you have two middle initials. George R.R. Martin. The second book in his Song of Ice and Fire series is called A Clash of Kings. That will probably be the second season of the show. But this is a series of books, and it's very popular, and now they're bringing the books to the screen. But HBO has announced a second season of Game of Thrones.
Tomorrow, a third season.
Third season. Just every day, a new season for Game of Thrones. I like to think that I know a little bit about the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
I've lived on the outskirts of it for a couple of years
now. Keyword, they're little.
Yeah. For the life of me, I can't understand how these pay-per-cable networks make their money. Because advertising television, you get it. They put a show on the television, and then they charge exorbitant fees for people to sell their products during the commercial break.
Commercials, yeah.
I understand that business model.
You have to pay for their service.
But like in HBO, you pay for it, right. But
it's not that much.
It's not that much. And how many more subscribers can they get when they put a show like Game of Thrones on that would offset the cost of the production cost, which must be enormous?
I don't know.
I wonder how they make the big money.
Ralph, do the cable companies and the satellite companies, do they pay HBO in order to be able to offer that programming to their subscribers? Do they get a percentage of every DirecTV or Comcast or whatever?
I believe they do, but they do that with regular networks as well.
Right.
Any cable network has to, you know, the providers pay a service, a licensing fee.
Maybe they...
Maybe DVD sales on the other end, maybe.
Yeah.
That's how they make a certain chunk of change. But
they do make some incredibly expensive... I mean, a show like Boardwalk Empire is an expensive show with a lot of people to make.
All the high-budget stuff now is being done on these Showtime, HBO stars, these kind of networks. So you'd think that would be an awfully dicey proposition if you're not making a lot of bank in return. That's me posing questions I don't have the answers to right there.
Good. Is it because you're a curious person, Ralph? Is that why you want to know the answer to that?
Nope. And it's finally the dark times have come. The end day is.
Oh, why?
We're on the cusp. I see the four horsemen in the distance. I am moving to higher ground because it's the end.
What is causing you to say it's the end?
Bruce Springsteen has announced he's going to appear on American Idol.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you like American Idol.
Wow.
Yeah,
and you love Bruce Springsteen.
I love Bruce Springsteen. But Bruce, to me, always was like a little, he traveled above that stuff. You know what I mean? He was always a little bit better than that kind of stuff.
Yeah. He is lately go where the people are. I mean, he turned down the Super Bowl halftime show like 10 years in a row until he finally agreed to do it because now he's, you know, he's maybe didn't get played on the radio as much. He still wants to get in front of people.
Yeah, I guess so. Plus, his good buddy Jimmy Iovine, who was an early producer of Springsteen's records, is one of the mentors on the show this year. So maybe that was the in.
Huh.
But though I'm interested to see it, it makes me a little sad.
Well, I don't necessarily need to see somebody like Haley, a contestant on American Idol, singing a Bruce Springsteen song.
I don't need to see any of them sing a Bruce Springsteen
song. That's why you shouldn't watch.
I don't need to see Jason Rusk sing a Bruce Springsteen song.
Agreed.
Well, I am looking forward
Jacob,
to Pia.
By the way.
I am looking forward to her singing.
Jacob?
Jacob.
Yeah. Whatever. Big, overdramatic, just Poncy Nancy boy bouncing around the stage.
He is Tyler Perry, that's for sure.
He's worse than Tyler Perry. He's Samwell. He's what in the butt? That's who he looks like him, too. He's like a beefy Samwell.
But
and
Kevin
everything's
makes
over dramatic, and he's pulling faces, and he looks like he opened the Ark of the Covenant, and his face is melting off because he looked inside.
I had beefy Samwell last night. It was very tasty.
Very good.
He does cry every time Seacrest opens an envelope, too. I don't know what that's about. But Kevin pointed out, you got to stick with AI because at least your girlfriend Pia is still strong.
Oh, man. That stinks. That hurts.
What?
That stings.
Oh,
that
she's
hurts.
Gone. Sorry, I forgot
she
about
got voted
that.
Off.
Yeah, I didn't
and
mind.
She's dating Mark Ballhaus.
Who's that?
One of the dancers on Dancing with the Stars.
Is his last name Ballhaus, and he just says Haas?
Ballas, Ballhaus, I don't know, B-A-L-L-A-S.
I think it's Ballas. I think it's Ballas.
Ballhaus, I call him.
I don't know why it's not much of an insult,
but not much.
But it's a little.
Is meat on the menu this week?
What does that even mean? Meat on the menu this week.
As you're talking about his balls.
Wow.
Man. I think Bean's just got a dartboard. It's just connected to his little audio machine. He just throws a dart.
Just random.
Just stuff comes out. Oh, potato chips are in a bag. Out of nowhere, you just hear a sound clip. It's totally meaningless. Today's celebrity birthdays. Maria Sharapova is 24. Hayden Christensen is 30. Kate Hudson celebrates her 32nd birthday. James Franco is 33 years old today. Jesse James is 42.
Sieg Heil!
How dare you?
I'm just saying. Guy likes to wear a lot of Nazi hats. That's all I know.
Oh, he doesn't have photos of him in Nazi hats? He doesn't? Thank you. Prosecution rests, Your Honor.
We're not in a court.
Ashley Judd's 43. Suge Knight is 46 years old. And actor Tim Curry celebrates his 65th birthday. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, of course, is 4:20. And for that, we have Wee Man on the program. He's coming in studio. He has.
What are the chances that everyone will show up on time tomorrow? I mean, guys like Beer Mug. What's the over-under on him being here first thing?
Not a chance, first of all. And second of all, not a chance. We also have Ziggy Marley on the show tomorrow.
Of course
That's
we do.
That's appropriate for 4:20.
See? We have a brand new internet roundup. We have Would You Like to Take That Back? Basically, all of today's show is in Would You Like to Take That Back? And we've got your tickets for Big Four on tomorrow morning's all-new Kevin.